That's Psalms 37 at the moment. So I thought I'd just read that before we start tonight. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death, but the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Amen.
The Lord is faithful.
Yeah.
Jeff, you losing a prayer before you say?
God, we thank you for this time together tonight. We ask your blessings on all the work of this church and on the hands of your faithful followers that are touching people and letting them see your light, God. We take refuge in you, and we know that you provide safety, God. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, people.
I got a kind of an update on Joe Shelley. I feel like we'd mentioned in the meeting here before, but he's looking at cancer again, and he is not planning on treating it this time. And like when I first heard that, I thought, well, that's just giving up. But he explained in our Wednesday night meeting that the cancer he has is what he had before. And before, when he had it, when he was in the simmering stage, it stayed there for several years before it was developed enough that they decided to treat it, to actually go in after it. And so he's in the simmering stage again, which means it will likely be years before, at least a few years, if not maybe 5 years, before it really starts to be a health problem. And then at that point, there's like treatment options there's not much treatment options when you're not getting chemo or radiation therapy. But he says that if he gets treatment again, it's gonna be like last time. It's gonna put it off temporarily. It's gonna degrade his health. Like, he lost feeling in his hands and his feet, and he doesn't wanna not be able to walk, not be able to take care of himself. Doesn't want to be a burden on his family. And so he's looking at just riding out as long as he can until, you know, and just not treating it. And he said that his real struggle right now is trying to get his family to understand, because they're still seeing it like it's just him giving up. But I feel like he's trying to spare them years of expensive treatments and burdensome, you know, taking care of him.
Yeah, because the issue that he ran into is that while he was doing treatment the last time, he lost his job. Because of his neuropathy, he was using cannabis or something, some pill that he was using. And he got his drug test and came up positive.
Yeah.
And so lost his license. And he got the license back, though, last week, I think, so, which is positive. Okay. But
he doesn't want to go through that.
But he just can't go back to the school for a year from the point he lost it or something. So he wouldn't be until next summer or next school year for that. So it's progressing, but... And I talked to him about Ben as well, and Ben's cancer, and he's talked to him a bunch of times about it. So, and so maybe he'll
seek some alternative. Yeah, something treatments.
Like, I think Ben's been doing the vitamin C treatments and stuff like that after his previous treatment. So, I'll throw my wife out there too. So she's been suffering with a ear infection. So she had a sinus infection originally. It moved to her ear and it was just horrible. Went to the doctor finally after getting her to go to the doctor, and then they gave her a treatment. It got rid of the extreme pain, but then she still wasn't getting better. So she's on antibiotics now, and today she says she didn't feel any better. I'm like, yeah, you started yesterday, so I'm.
Yeah,
you should. But at least the extreme pain that she had before isn't there. She's able to sleep at least a little bit, because before she wasn't. She was waking up every hour or so, and so that's not super useful. And then she's working 8 hours at least a day, not taking breaks. So it's like, take breaks, eat food, drink something. I'll be at home tomorrow, so I can keep track of her. And oops, sorry, your computer's locked.
So Max had a hearing test today, and he has moderate hearing loss in both ears. My wife's been complaining about it for a long time. Like, he's just a teenager, he doesn't listen. But he failed a test at school, so she brought him in the doctor today. He's going to get CT scans. He has epilepsy, and so we just want to make sure that it's not related to degeneration in his brain or some problem that, you know. But he's probably going to have to have hearing aids either way. So he's a little upset about it. Although he's at the thing with Nathan today. Yeah, Church Retreat. So hopefully he's not thinking too much about it.
Yeah. And it's not impacting his musician or music abilities either, is it?
Well, he's trumpets. They're so loud. I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe that's what's wrong.
Yeah, maybe he'll be way better once he gets hearing aid. He's like my grandfather. He's going to use that hearing aid to ignore us. He's like, turn it down.
Or to make it buzz, just to make you like, you're killing us.
talked to Sandy after the service.
Yeah.
It's like, I could get a read.
You couldn't get a read?
No, it was...
She filled out a card to place membership.
Well, she had it in her purse.
Well, I was wondering if she did it first.
And then Carrie must have seen it. She says, do you want me to take that? Well, she hesitated a little bit, but then she did it.
I sent her a note Sandy. Today.
It's a pretty big change coming from Overland.
She's from Overland Church. She's been there 10 years at Overland. She lives in Ladue, and she grew up in the Church of Christ.
Yeah.
That's the background I got. She seemed a little... humble, I don't know, kind of background, you know, and so she sat up right up front, but I was like, there's a lot going on yesterday, you know, just in nine different ways, you know, everything from palms and women and music. And yeah, I mean, I loved the whole morning. I thought it was great. Jeremiah blessing us, and you know, but probably in a normal church, I'm trying to visualize her in a little country Church of Christ. It was like,
I bet she liked it. I bet she liked
it. I hope so.
I think she did. Well, listen, when I was at Overland, there were several elders' wives who would frequently bemoan that women didn't have anything to do at church. So yeah. I feel like that, at least that part of it. Yeah, the music's probably a lot for her. But, I'm sure she liked that part. I didn't talk to her a little bit. She recognized me.
She's not
super close to my parents, but she doesn't know them. You know, they go there still.
Okay. So we did verify that we're a Church of Christ. Yeah. Otherwise, she might have been wondering.
I went out and looked at the sign again just to be sure. That's it.
So, well, we'll see. I sent her a card today. So,
I mean, lots of people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And again, you know, she's in the neighborhood, and it kind of might make sense to be interesting how I do think that shift for people has taken place in a lot of ways, where people are much more neighborhoodish in their outlook.
Who is Virginia Pierce?
She lives right down the street as well on Rockman, I believe, in Rock Hill. And older woman, probably mid-70s, I'm going to guess. And that's all, you know, I think just has been visiting off and on for quite some time.
You said her husband's going for surgery soon.
Yeah, yeah. We could figure out a way to follow up with that. And she never mentioned her husband or anything before when I've spoken to her.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Didn't know she was married.
Now, with Larika, she put something on a lot. And then she said, my kids are crying for help.
Yeah.
What does she mean by that?
That I don't know. I'll call her.
Okay.
I will. I'll call her. I have a pretty good rapport with her.
So, Steve, when was the last time that the boys were at the youth group? It's been... quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been
about 6 months at least, I think.
And she had put in for one of them, or she had put in that one of them wanted to be, was it Travone?
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to be baptized. And then Nathan was trying to follow up with him and never went anywhere. So I don't know if he wanted to or she wanted him to.
Well, that's hard to say.
Hard to say, but you know, that was going on. Mike Lotek was back again yesterday and in our group up here. And I feel like, I don't know, he's Mike's an interesting fellow, and he's got quite a, you know, he's got his issues for sure. But that being said, it seemed like he's genuinely trying to find some centering for his life, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of putting it. And he just likes being around a community of faith.
Yeah.
But he doesn't
have the faith.
The faith.
Yeah.
I asked him if he believed that Jesus was resurrected, and he said no.
Yeah. He said that the first Sunday. I thought he said he didn't believe in God, but he said he corrected me and said, no, I just don't believe in the resurrection.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then he did pray in our group yesterday.
Yeah.
So maybe the Lord can work through that.
So speaking of Mike,
yeah.
So Ralph, so going to the canon side,
yes.
so, So he's the one that Michael knows. So he has connections to Ralph.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the one that's been able to get all the information.
Oh, on Ralph?
So on Ralph. Okay. So basically what happened that I know. So me and Michael had a conversation about it 2 weeks ago. So right after our last meeting with Dr. Michael. And what he said is Ralph got caught most likely in Illinois carrying a gun.
Yeah.
He was doing something wrong to begin with. So he was, and he had a gun, and they know he had come from Missouri. So he's carrying arms across borders. And that right there puts you at like 10 plus years, I think.
Mm.
26 is what the current thought is because he was doing something else.
Is he already a felon? Is he?
So he was doing something wrong when he got caught. Yeah. So the two things together, I think, is 26. Is what Mike said, if he's lucky. Wow. So it's not all said and done.
Is he prosecuted in Illinois?
I don't know which side they're prosecuting.
But, Mike knows about it. He's
So I assume it's probably on this side he's being prosecuted. But because he got caught on the Illinois side, they extradited him back with the gun and...
Mike, you're not talking about Mike Cannon.
You're
Mike
Lowtech. Ralph is Mike's
cousin. Ralph was related to Mike Cannon.
Yeah.
Okay. Clarifying.
Michael's cousin. Yeah. And so it's a pretty big thing. Yeah. And Mike Lowtech didn't think there was much maybe getting out on good behavior or something may get him out a little earlier. But the assumption is probably 26 years is what Michael was saying. So he's... Right now, he's
has that information even been shared, like with Gloria? Do you know?
I assume that Gloria knows as well.
Okay, because she didn't know too much.
So this is a week later after you had talked to her.
Right.
So it's possible that Mike only told him.
Oh, but Mike did talk to her. Okay.
But I don't know. So Mike Lowtech told Michael Cannon this. I guess sometime in between the time you talked to Michael Cannon.
Yeah.
And Gloria. If Gloria knows all of it, I don't know.
Yeah, I just wondered how she
Because a lot was, of times I know that they tried to keep them from knowing a lot. And so so that's what he told me. So and that was as of that point. So, I mean, it hadn't went through all of court yet, but that was what it was looking like from... So Mike's on the, not the prosecutor, but the
defense
side. And if the defense says you're going to get 26 years, you know that you hope to get 26 years at that point as opposed to them pushing it up higher. Mm. So, but Michael Cannon, has been struggling with all kinds of stuff too. So I know that, Whitney had surgery last Monday. Mm-hmm. She was at church on Sunday, yesterday.
She had like a hernia.
Two
hernia. And so... but she was up walking around on Sunday. She said that it was a bit, she was still feeling it some, but not too bad. Michael, with his child support, so I don't know how much this is known, and I just know that I've been getting requests for money, and he called me a while ago as I was coming in here, and I know Dave is taking care of, I think, stuff tomorrow morning. I was going to ask Dave about it because he called me as I'm driving here. So I'm like here holding the phone, trying to watch on 40, not to run into people, and trying to understand what he's saying because his phone has been having trouble all day. And so basically he had of the $156 he was supposed to have yesterday, as of midnight last night, he had 100 of it and turned that in. But... he wasn't sure what was going to happen. Today, it seems he now has to pay $200. So I guess on top either a fee or the next month, all at the same time, because if not, then he'll lose his driver's license, which then makes him really useless because he drives for picking up bodies for the one job, and the other job is down here at White Castle, and that he was supposed to have started today. So I guess he's not starting that today. Because he's been up at the courthouse all day, I think. So just lots of stuff going on. And Dave, I think, is taking care of... Because he'd asked Todd for the money first. Todd didn't have $200. Then I guess he sent me one as I was driving. And
so that wasn't a hack?
No. So the assumption is no. So I ask him, so the one that I, so like the last time,
yeah.
So I had got one and I didn't, I asked him about it. I wasn't going to even send it to him until I talked to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't remember sending that to you. Okay, so then the next, like within a couple hours after we walked out of the building, I got one again. And it's like, okay, so is this you or not? And so then it's like, yeah, so it probably is him asking for it, most likely.
I thought it was somebody hacked his.
And that's
the. Said it initially.
Yeah, so that's. Yeah, initially that was the thought. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more him asking just everybody for $25 trying to collect it, as opposed to. If he asks all of us for $25, he'll have all the money he needs, and we're willing to send that. Because today was the first time he's ever asked me for $200. So I mean, but he had just called me, and I told him, "You talk to me, we can have a conversation, and I'll send you probably anything you ask me for.
Yeah.
If you don't talk to me first, I'm not sending you anything."
Right.
And so, and me and. Was it us or was it me and Dave? So me and somebody had talked to him about it before and saying that if this is the direction you go through, if you don't go through that direction, then
I can't help you.
Yeah, it's so Dave is supposed to meet him tomorrow morning to help take care of it.
That's good.
At least that's what Dave said. He could do it in the morning, help with him in the morning.
So he did get the job at White Castle's?
That's what he said yesterday.
Okay.
But if he got the job and he's not able to show up because he's at court all day,
okay.
I'm sure that he will not be in that job tomorrow.
They're pretty hard up for people at fast food places. I mean, they might put up.
But if you're at court all day, they just know that they may lose more by picking you up. That's how he's lost two other jobs because of that exact situation. So even if you're not in the wrong.
Let me shift it up a little bit. So yesterday during prayer time, I was in a group with several ladies, and Pam Edson was one of them. And so we're talking and praying, and Pam goes, you know, I've been struggling with baptism. I just don't know what God wants me to do. You know, I was christened as a child, and then Kay and Amy were in our group, and just so much deep godly wisdom. And you know, sometimes we just hear so much of everything that's going wrong, but I was just so impressed by the wisdom of the people in that group. And, you know, Kay's just saying, you know, I think the Spirit's talking to you. You need to listen to that. And, you know, she gave her some scripture and said, you know, let's pray about it. Let's talk to Jeff. And you know, just to say that, you know, God is moving. And you know, somebody Pam Edson's age is still willing to listen to the Spirit. And you know, you think, okay, you know, she's lived her life. She knows better, right. But she's still listening to the Spirit. And so I'm just praying for her. But just, again, really impressed with, you know, we talked about maturity level. And there was a lot of meat in what was discussed at that circle and in that time in the prayer. And just, you know, it wasn't superficial. Sometimes you just kind of chat with people. Mm-hmm. But it was deep, you know, spiritual stuff. So, you know, that's always good to pray about. You know, God is, you know, keep working on Pam and put people in her way that are going to lead her the way she needs to. Yeah.
That's good.
So little signs.
Yeah.
You know, at times. Yeah. Yesterday, just seeing Brett Schneider serve communion for the first time. You know, it's a little thing.
Yeah.
It's a little thing. But that afterward, they're both Kate and Brett said, I could just see, and their response, they felt like they were involved and engaged with the community in a way that, for at least for Brett, Kate was happy to see Brett be involved. Brett was happy to be involved in the ways that hadn't happened before. And so sometimes it takes a long time, but I think he's in a different, maybe a little different place with a different job now than he was, where he was gone all weekend, and it was hard for him to even have a space for, you know, church life. Ask for prayers for them.
I enjoyed, I was sitting behind Kate and seeing her parents when she was up there reading scripture, just seeing a proud look on their face, seeing their daughter up there doing that.
Yep.
I agree.
That's good.
we pray for you. You got a lot of things happening.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I think just the willpower to finish strong. I think that's been, I'm like trying to keep up with all of the things. And I think that what I've noticed is some of my people, like they already have kicked me out the door. I was sharing that a little bit this morning. Just people want to step in and help, but they're not like going through me, and so they're just doing things, and then I'm like, oh, I'm having to recorrect something. So,
I can see that happening.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, and when you move down there, you're going to live in a cardboard box, right?
Exactly. That's,
you got to figure that cardboard box situation out. So.
Yes, I was on the phone with some places today, and so I've got some promising leads. Okay. At least I think. Yeah. I was working with an apartment locator, and it just turned out really bad. I mean, to the point where, like, not communicating back with me, we would set up, like, scheduled Zooms, and then she wouldn't show up. And I'm like, oh, okay. COVID just really destroyed our country.
That's what it is.
So, but I, you know, it's so funny because that you mention it, because I have had a lot of peace about all of it. And so I'm like, I just know it's the Lord's will, and, you know, his hand is in front of it, so I'm not really worried where I'm going to sleep. Amen. I'm going to be like Jesus.
Sleep on a rock.
Just watch out for the fire ants.
Yeah. That's true. Sure. I don't want that. So, yeah, thank you. Maybe they'll set me on fire. Okay. It's not all
working. Brent, you got a good enough list there to pray for us?
I can try. Lord, as shepherds, we pray that we know the sheep and that you show us what they need. Father, you teach us where they need to graze and how we need to treat them. We need to know their ills and their sicknesses, and just help us always to be engaged with the congregation and the people here. Father, we want to lift them up to you and just ask that you show us how we can serve them and how your Spirit can work there. Pray for Joe Shelley, and I know he's been dealing with this cancer for a long, long time, and it's got to be getting tired on him, and just give him wisdom on what he needs to do with the treatment. And I just pray that his family will understand, and that people will continue to be in his life to check him and just make sure that he is thinking all the angles through. And Father, just that he seeks seeks understanding on why this is going on in his life, and trusts in you, and that you give him peace in this. I pray for Beata, and you know, it seems like she's been sick for a while with sinuses and ear infections, and that can just be so painful. And just heal her. I know she serves so many people in so many ways and doesn't have time to really slow down with kids. And just pray that Jeff can minister to her as a husband and serve her and give her some rest. And just pray that you heal Beata. Prayer also for Max and for a young man to be losing his hearing, or at least having diminished hearing, that can be frightening. Mm-hmm. Just be with him and give him peace. I pray that the doctors can, you know, find ways through hearing aids or whatever to help augment that. And pray for the Browns that, you know, as parents also, that can be frightening. You know, child that has epilepsy and hearing issues and all that, that just give them peace. And we do really appreciate Max and the spirit that we see in him, that he's given his life to you, that he shares so willingly his spirit and with Jaden and so many others. And just thank you for his influence in the youth group. And as my fellow brother, I just really pray for that young man. Father, we talked about Sandy wanting to place membership, and just this strange place she's walked into, and I just pray that she feels comfortable here, and more importantly, that she feels your spirit in this place, and that she can grow in her walk with you. I pray for Mike Lotek, and I've known him for a while, and just we don't know where he's at, and pray that again he can come here to find you. I don't want him to be comfortable here, Lord, if he's not sure of who you are or what you mean to him. I pray that he believes that he has true friends here, but that we can speak the truth to Mike, and just really hope that we can point him to you, and that he can again see the love and mercy and the hope that you give. And we pray for Jeremiah. What a great brother. It's been so wonderful to work with him for the past few years, and just the joy that he's brought to the children's ministry. And we just ask your spirit go with him, and that he continues to bless your kingdom in the church down there, and you give him a place to stay, and just help him in this transition. In Christ's name, amen.
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 Okay, Jeremiah, you can update us.
I'm going to update you. So this Sunday, we have our Easter extravaganza. And I feel like every time I talk about an event, I always say it's my favorite event. But they all are my favorite events, really. But this is probably one of my favorites, for sure, because what I experience over there at Tillis Park is like a lot of hands, first and foremost, like adult hands who are hiding eggs, and teenagers help with that, and it's just kind of a cool experience. But then to see the kids like enjoy finding the eggs even though they're in plain sight, it's kind of neat to experience. So yeah, that's kind of what we have this Sunday, and
so
I'm
a question
forward
on that, if I can. So I know we've talked about it before, the value of the egg hunt, and you know, should it be just for the church or should it be for the community? So what are your thoughts on that, and what do you think, you know, what's the payoff? Because it's a lot of work, you know. Yeah. is the juice worth the squeeze?
Mm-hmm. I would say if our metric is outreach, I would say it's a fail. Mm-hmm. But if our metric is we want an experience for our kids, it's a success. What I noticed last year, though, honestly, was it did get us in the park. And then there were a lot of people who were like, oh, who are y'all? Why are y'all here? And we were kind of saying, oh, we're having an Easter egg hunt. We are at this church right across the street. And so there was like a couple of young families that were like, we'll check out your church. I don't think they ever checked out our church, yeah. But it was just the fact that like our presence was there. I just think of maybe the mindset of like God like telling Jeremiah and like the people like as they are captives to go and bless their foreign land. Like mm-hmm. In my brain, I feel like that's what we're doing just by our presence. Because people who are walking through the park, they're seeing these kids be joyful. And what I'm hoping and praying is that they are asking the question, why are they so joyful? Why is their joy so different than mine?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
So I would say it's a win. Mm-hmm.
Well, also like the chance that you randomly meet someone and they're in a place where they're ready to go visit church,
yeah.
Pretty low. But if they have a good experience with us, then if they ever are in that place where they're ready to go to church,
right.
They'll
yeah.
Hopefully remember us.
Yeah.
All right here.
And we, I mean, that was one of the things that I noticed with, like, when we were doing our preschool play dates, not this fall, but the fall prior, I was able to meet a lot of families who just, like, hung out at Tillis Park. A lot of them did not speak English, but it was kind of neat to see kind of God's people, like, the people that God created who are not churchgoers. So I think it just gives us a good neighborly approach.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So that's extravaganza. This past Sunday, we were supposed to be teaching a lesson on whatever the lesson was supposed to be. And we ended up teaching the Palm Sunday lesson. And it was probably, if I will just be real, it was probably my favorite lesson to teach. We had a huge group of kids, so it was kind of hard to kind of put everybody in the space, like actually participating. We do a thing called Act It Out, and so they kind of act out the story. And so it was kind of cool to see them all be a part of this acted out experience of them like telling Jesus riding in on this donkey coat, your son was the donkey.
I can imagine.
Yes. That's funny. Yours was a disciple. So there you go. So yeah, it was kind of neat. And then I was able to teach the 3rd through 5th grade, which we've been struggling. I'll just be real with this group. That group has struggled a lot.
In what way?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like the way they treat each other. Not this Sunday, but the Sunday prior, we had a moment where one kid went home crying, just because the boys in the room were just kind of not as nice to the girls in the room. And so what I'm noticing, and I don't know if this is because they are a mixed group or because the boys are just bored, that like they're poking at each other now. And so
now Steve's in there.
Yeah, Steve. So we've kind of done like a trade-off. So Steve teaches 1 month, Carriker teaches the other month, and so it's kind of been this. And Ben Maringer has been like the consistent person who is assisting. But what I noticed on Sunday, so Joyce Holmes asked if she could come and just observe, and I watched this moment that. There was a kid who got a little upset while I was teaching, and I was like, what's wrong? And this one kid decided to steal his seat, and it just shows how silly kids can be. And I said, well, why is that a big deal? And he said, because I want to sit next to my friend Maelo. Mm-hmm. And like it really made my heart happy because I'm like, though they like poke at each other, they all genuinely love each other. They're just like boys, and they're boys are dumb. I mean, we were that age. We were dumb then. And so I think it like gave me a new appreciation of like the dumbness of like 3rd through 5th grade boys. Sorry.
In 3rd grade, I sat in somebody else's seat.
So. Yeah.
And the teacher put me out in the hall. Oh. And of course, it was in a girl's seat.
I should have put him out in the hall.
Made an impression on you.
Yeah, he'd become a preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Survived it and avoided prison.
Yeah, so kind of what I'm noticing and what I wonder is if there is a way to even, like, break the boys and girls up. Maybe that would... Of course, I'm leaving, so like I can't do that.
There's just a dynamic right now that maybe isn't the best.
Yeah, yeah. And the girls can kind of poke, too. I mean, just the girls want to be everybody's mom, right? So they want to, like, tell the guys what to do, and instead of allowing the teacher to do that.
Nora.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it. It's Evie and Nora, yeah.
And who was Evie and Nora.
Yeah.
And so, and that just really riles up the boys. They get so mad about it, and they poke at them, and then they get upset. And I'm like, okay. We got to figure out a new dynamic for this group. So
that's interesting too. Yeah.
Approximately how many kids are in the class?
We range maybe like 12 to like.
That's a lot in that.
But there's only
that
5 that caused the problem.
There's only
And 2 of the parents are sitting at this table.
That is true.
That's why he's not saying names. That's
true.
If he wants to hear, he'd be saying.
This is a problem.
This is all
and of course one of the
and a grandparent.
One of the grandparents is
saying. Yeah, 2 grandparents actually. What I noticed though is it was
super helpful for me when like Ezek had incident, you came and told me about it. I got to confirm about it immediately, and then have consequences for him when he gets home. Because if I don't know, I'll think he's hey, you were great at church today. As far as I know, you know.
Yeah,
and I talked to Kara that same Sunday because I heard the story from somebody else.
So, yeah,
from your granddaughter. Or,
I can see Kara having trouble.
And Kara just played it off that everything was good, and which was I'm like.
Yeah.
The way that you left with Zeke, and the way that the other kids came down, and it was like,
everything was not great.
That was a week ago Sunday,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
not last.
Kara was a little on. Yeah, she was right after.
Because we were talking. She
could not quite process everything that had happened, or if everything had gone, is like, what now?
Yeah, yes. What's the win? Right.
Yeah, where do I go with
and
this?
One of the things that she is trying to do, she has bought all the kids a bracelet, and it's been kind of neat because she's trying to, with this bracelet, she asked me if it was okay to kind of teach them that we are a family. Mm-hmm. And when you see this bracelet, you remember you're a family, blah, blah, blah. And so she definitely is, I would call her an emerging leader. She's not there yet, but one of the things that I've really have enjoyed about Kara is that she is truly saying, man, I want these kids to walk away knowing Jesus a little more. Yeah. I don't want to be getting onto them every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so the things that I would probably be like, sit down. Yeah.
She's hesitant to do it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I have noticed, though, is she is able to say every kid's name, something about them, like a favorite memory she has. And so I think that's better than kind of our old model where, because the reality of it is that Steve was having the same issues.
No, yeah, there's no question. So it's anybody that's been teaching in there has had issues.
Yeah, except me. Group.
I think that you still have issues because I hear other things. So it's
just,
so you may
just
think
from
you're
yours,
a control.
No.
Yeah, from mine. So, because that's the thing, because I've struggled. So on Wednesday nights, I taught them up here without the girls. The girls weren't there, but just the same boys. And as I consider myself a professional teacher and trainer, and I struggled. I'm like, this, we can't do this. This is not going to, you can't get even any points across because just, and that's where the struggle is at. If you can't get a point across and they don't hear that.
I thought they called the third to fifth grade the latent stage.
I know, that's supposed to be. Oh, like, I'm like, this is going to be easy class. Why are you having
to the junior high that is the deadly group.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, now it's mode.
Role reversal. Yeah. Yeah. I just think
so much
like,
younger.
This group, like their attention span has drastically changed.
Yeah.
And because that has happened, and I blame that on COVID, I blame that on because they had all of that, like that season of not actually being in a public learning environment. They were on their computers, like learning when they
that
wanted.
That was a while ago, though.
I know, but there's
no more excuses.
Well, it's not an excuse because what scientists are kind of proving, is that the effects of COVID are still lingering in our public schools.
Because these are the kindergartners and first graders. Mm-hmm. So once Gates comes out there, it'd be interesting because he started kindergarten back in school. But Boone did not.
Right.
So in Ethan, he had just started and left, and so that's the top of that group, and so it's really just odd the whole perspective of it.
So I just think that if we can create a different, I would say the environment, if the environment can look a little different, maybe that will help. Maybe I don't know that to be true. That's just my thought.
Well, you just separate out the troublemakers. That's an option too.
No.
So something that I was reading the other day about it was that maybe getting them to do something else. Mm-hmm. So not even having a class, and getting them in other classes and having them as helpers, because they all do really good as helpers.
That's true.
But not as actually the
listeners
in that class.
Yeah.
And
That's
or just getting some of them to break them up.
Correct.
Break that.
Yeah. When I was a preteen minister.
Yes,
that was,
the three. Yeah.
When I was a preteen minister, one of the things we intentionally created preteen ministry because we started to notice, like, especially once they hit like that fifth and sixth grade age, they're not really in children's ministry anymore, but they're also not old enough to be in youth ministry. So they kind of almost in a way need this like secondary in between group. And what I noticed when we created this environment specifically for them that had some games, but also we had our own like little worship experience, all of this stuff, the behaviors that I was having prior, those kind of disappeared. And then we started doing things like allowing them to be helpers during the worship time, and then having a class specifically where we were teaching them deeper discipleship things. So, so that could be one way moving forward.
I just wondered if putting them together as a team teaching would work. I mean, you got a male and a female together. And
yeah.
You're talking about like Kara Steve,
and putting Steve and Kara together as opposed to, you know.
One alternating.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the thing that I'll say about that. And this does not leave this room. they are both very strong personalities. Like, very strong personalities. And I remember when Kara was first kind of coming along, like, Steve was kind of, like, in a way trying to be her boss. I was like, whoa, 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 calm down. Like, let's rein it back a little bit. Because I know Kara, and, like, kind of Steve's approach would kind of make her a little upset. And so I think they would struggle, I guess, is what I'm saying there.
Yeah, you got 12 kids, 82 teachers to split them up.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to split them up, girls.
That'd be interesting.
Boys.
Yeah, that'd be.
Yeah.
Spend the next 6 weeks split up or something, and then let them come back together for a time.
Yeah.
And then they may be better coming back.
I know several years ago, Steve Jones and I taught 5th and 6th graders. Steve is a great teacher. And, you know, I don't know if he.
Jones?
Yeah, Steve Jones.
Won't come back.
Well, I was good. Have you asked him?
Oh, yes.
He loved it.
There's a black mark in the floor in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's the age group, because it was like, I think 5th and 6th is what we did.
Yeah.
The guy was just awesome. So.
Have you tried guilt and things like that?
Yeah. Well, I can talk to him if you guys want me to.
Yeah. Brett's good at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I've noticed, though, like, when I come in, like, their behavior changes a lot. There's some kids who could care less that I come in, but a lot of them change. And so, like, I taught this past Sunday, and, like, I kind of said to them, why can't y'all act like this every week? Like, y'all were, like, perfectly fine. I mean, I had, like, one little incident, but that was it, and we fixed it. Quickly. And so I think what I'm noticing is maybe they're testing those teachers, like they're poking at those teachers.
Well, and it's just like in elementary school and stuff like that. Right. The teacher, the sub comes in there, and if she's really nice, or even a regular teacher at the beginning of the year, really nice, they will take advantage of it, and they'll never be good the whole year, no matter how much she's rough on them. If you have to start off really rough, then you can sort of start off as bad cop and then become good cop at the end.
That's all my update. I don't have any more.
Okay, good.
I'm working on VBS. That's the other thing. So that's it.
As far as our children's minister search, I was just going to ask, did I hear somewhere along the line you maybe had some prospects for us? Or?
Yeah. So I actually talked with this Steve. I was talking with my friend who is an associate director or whatever her title is at LCU, Lubbock Christian University, and she has like one prospect who's married. They're both finishing at LCU with their MDivs. She is interested in children's ministry. The kicker is her husband is interested in worship ministry, which is kind of why they've struggled to find a job, because most churches aren't.
They want to go together?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So,
are there roots in Texas?
Yeah.
That's tough, man. Getting somebody up here and keeping them here. They're from Texas, it seems like.
Unless you employ them both, and then
that's
away
true.
From that.
That's true. Yeah. So,
from this area, maybe.
I sent her the job description, and she shared it with this couple. And then I gave them Steve's contact information, and I guess he's going to pass it along to the people actually doing the search. So, if they reach out.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Yeah. There was one other person who, once I posted it in some of my children's ministry groups, she said, I'm interested. I'm finishing up my associate's degree and plan to go get a bachelor's in children and family ministry. she's Assemblies of God. And so I think that would be kind of hard for
we need that fire. Kind of, there's that fire ant thing. So
that, that's
that fire,
it.
Maybe we should
that's
get
it.
Her.
So, you had one girl from that was in Houston.
Uh-huh.
Kayla. Or,
Kayla. Yeah, so she said no. She prayed about it for a while and just kind of was feeling like the Lord was telling her to stay there for some
in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
So let's talk about our senior minister search update.
All right.
Want me to do my
faith in action and wait for Steve to come back.
Should I do my scorecards? For good senior minister
stuff?
Well,
let's do faith in action first.
Oh, faith in action. Okay.
Okay, faith in action. Kreider, do you want to say anything about that?
Only that that's on April 20th.
21st.
Okay. I just looked at it a second ago. All right, 21st is Saturday.
Oh, it's on a Saturday?
It's going to be Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. 21st. Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. This is not my event. This is Don's event. So
you're the one that brought it up the other day.
Well, it was Don and mine, and I'm out of town.
Yeah. So, sorry. 21st. So, it's a Sunday after church is what I was thinking Saturday morning because I was thinking... because we'd done them then traditionally, and I got confused because I just thought it was on that weekend. But that being said, so if it's after church.
After church or after worship?
I think we should have class.
Okay.
And so I think it should be after class. I don't know that
and
we
after class,
have.
Last time we had a quick lunch.
Yes.
And that turned out pretty well.
Seemed like it worked
just a real
well.
Simple thing.
But I think would need to get, you know, a couple of weeks in it. So the purpose of me bringing it up was because in my head I knew Steve was out, and getting the congregation on board something like this takes some prompting and prodding and a little work. So it's not. And so this was more of a conversation because my thought was, and Steve kind of pushed back maybe a little bit, but maybe not too much, but that we could dedicate some people to working on the building and grounds.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean everybody.
Yeah.
I just mean that one, it's pretty easy to deploy people that way. Two, we need that. And we had been doing like a once a year thing. We kind of did not do that last fall. So it's been a full year since we've had one of those boots on the ground in the area here. So to me, that made some sense. I think we could still figure out the lunch, but then maybe we... Again, still some people that want to go out, that would be fine too. So, did you have more thoughts, Don? That's as far as I'd gotten. I just wanted to find out if we were fundamentally in agreement with the premise around all of that.
Yeah, I think some of like Sarah Hennigan said she needs some help.
Yeah,
and I think some of the people we helped last time are those that can't get out and do anything. So we might be able to go to some of those same ones again, like the Venias, some of those people, and those would be people. Mm-hmm. Of kind of first circle around and see if they need something. Mm-hmm. And I can help do that.
What do you think about projects around here?
Yeah, I can get you a good list. I can definitely get you plenty to do for a couple hours, to two.
Talking to the ceiling?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's plenty I can get you a list for.
Okay.
Is it too much to try to do both, though? I guess that's a question.
Well,
because if you've got the Devanias and you've got Alice Ferry and, you know, we could easily come up with... Maybe enough that, because you had about 50 last time.
Yeah.
Well, we can take those and prioritize them such that if
we
it makes
later.
Sense.
We can do some other
later.
Time.
Yeah, we can do those.
We can even have a faith in action too, you know, in May or.
Well, I like the idea of doing some out in, you know, some in the community because I think that
we
want to keep that emphasis.
We can make an audible that day, actually, because if we do pick Sarah, for example. If we don't have enough people or we got too many projects here to do, we can do Sarah next week or something.
Yeah, right.
Could you, I don't know, I'm just going to talk. Anyways, could you like prioritize like maybe three of those outward projects and then everybody else?
Because if it rains even too, so if you think about that, have like some, have stuff that's maybe just here in the building or if there's somebody that has indoor stuff that they need, I know most of them have outdoor stuff, so I mean, like that's what all the last time we went out, everybody was outside with them. Mm-hmm.
So we've had a few over the winter inside. So.
Yeah. So.
Be nice to do some outside ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. But if it's raining, then you just want to make sure you have two lists to apply for that.
Okay. Well.
What'd you say?
Okay.
Can you guys coordinate on that a little bit and
I guess
just make sure?
Be better sooner than later that we could then start announcing.
I would say we could announce it at any time, and then there's plenty to do here. You know, if there's 5 people or 50 people, there's plenty for them to do, and then you can help me decide if we need to use that day for serving, you know, 2 or 3 other ladies in the congregation, or if we want to
we
do that some
send
other
out
time.
A communication to our list again and just get a feel.
Right.
And maybe not even promising them that day.
Yeah.
Right. Just to get a
sometime in the spring.
Yeah.
So I'll take the communication side of it, okay? Right. Try to get the right date. The right day. Oh, wait a minute. It's not Saturday.
Yeah. It's Debbie's birthday.
Sunday. Yeah. Oh, great. So I'll do that, and I will indicate that it's both here and in the community, okay? But it's a community. It's a community service, including our own building and grounds. Okay. So that's and then I'll get Steve with you and far as lunch and that sort of thing. Okay. So we can how you went about that and keep that simple.
He's doing that. He said,
"I'm doing."
Communication.
Yeah. Well, I can do it with Nate Jeremiah, but I'll take.
Yeah, because Nathan needs to create a graphic.
Yeah, right. I'll talk to Nathan, but I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll do that. And then, and as long as you guys are square on getting the projects and divvying people up that day, then we'll take care of the rest.
We can do that.
Okay.
What's on your list, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I've got, you've seen my list. There's plenty to do outside. You know, we've got a cut the vines back from the trees that are growing around here, and there's some that kudzu that grows up, and then we've got some old brush that needs to be. We need to get a chipper, and depends on how many people we get and what the weather's going to be like, and there's that kind of stuff. There's painting we can do in here. There's a lot of just deep cleaning. There's a lot of stuff behind the baptistry. That it's there from, nobody knows what it is or why we have it. And it's like your attic, right? So let's just clean out a lot of that stuff. And there's just things, there's plenty to do like that. Yeah.
I noticed the trees out in the front, they have been trimmed.
Well, that's, so we got to trim those. But then more important is just to get the vines out from under them. Yeah. And then if we got time to trim them.
Last time I remember being trimmed was about a month after Jeff Earnhardt retired.
Exactly.
It was the heat of the summer, and he was out there doing it.
Yeah, I was here mowing. He seems like, he was here for...
Yeah, he did a lot of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that kind of stuff, right? There's plenty to do.
All right. Senior minister search update.
Okay. Well, we have 4.
Well, before that, should we do the scoring?
Well, yeah, I'm working towards that. Yeah. Okay. So we have 4 people in the.
Well, can I do it?
In the basket. Go right ahead.
Okay. Because you can't. So you got to get. Just got to do it. So, and first of all, you're welcome to stay, but I don't know how much of this is going to be meaningful to you, or but if
so
you guys
free
could
pass to go if you want.
Could take one of these and pass it around. And so on this, write your name on here. And I've got extra pens if you need one. Let me know. Okay. And write your name. So we have had several interviews. We've had 4. And Steve and Jeff are just doing a great job. Now, this is, in my mind, one of the more important things as elders and as leaders that we need to be looking at in the next several weeks and months. So we've put interviews out there, and hopefully you guys have had a chance to look at it. Now, what I want is to avoid groupthink. I want everybody to rate these cold. I want you to look at these and write down right now how you rank them. Number 1 through 4, and you can't duplicate the numbers. And if you don't think somebody should come back, just put an X in it. So,
can I ask a clarifying question
first?
So we have example sermons on everybody, but Ethan Laster, right? I couldn't find a sermon on him.
Our links weren't good, but if you go to the website,
there's several on the Lafayette website.
Yeah, Lafayette website. Okay,
and you can actually find them on his resume or somewhere.
The links don't work. No, they do.
I got them to work.
Did you really?
Oh, really? Yeah.
So you have to take the link and drop it in a browser.
Oh, so the link doesn't work.
You can't. The link would not bring you to that. But if you took the actual link that was there, you could.
The URL.
How do you get the link that's there?
You just copy it. So it's actually written out there. So you just.
And you could copy the link.
Copy it in your browser.
Yeah, because that's the one I watched. I didn't watch the one on Lafayette.
Like strength listing yet.
What's that?
It was his home congregation or something like that.
So on this piece of paper.
Okay, got it.
I want you to, we're going to discuss this later, but put down who you think. You know, 1 through 4. If you don't like any of them, just put an X. Don't think any of them come back. But you shouldn't have 2 1s. You shouldn't repeat the numbers.
1A and 1B.
No. And so what I want you to do is put that down and then hand them in to me. And then I want hold on, let me put mine down here. And again, this is for me for 2 reasons. One is hopefully we're all coming into this having prayed about it, you know, studied these guys, thought about it, made some opinions on our own. But yeah, we need to talk about it. And so now you can say your thing and then we can go to the next ranking.
Okay, has everybody got theirs in?
Oh, wait, Brad's working on it. Oh, Steve, thank you. Are you a Steven or a Steve?
I'm Steven, V-E-N.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. There's got to be someone who can tell you apart.
I put my initials on it.
Yeah, so which Jeff?
I go by Autry here.
Okay.
So. We need a G-E-O-F-F.
Jeff.
I just put Mick on the bottom of the end, and it makes it clear.
Yeah, you guys did a great job on those interview questions, and but the interviews seemed to go really well. The pre-presumes.
Okay. You have to keep private your names on it.
Thank you. All right, okay, now take one of these and pass it around and let Steve talk.
Okay, so, you know, we've got 4 people in the basket. Thank God it really blessed us.
Amen.
Getting 4 good candidates. You know, we were told, man, it may take you months to get just 1 good candidate. So I feel very blessed that God has given us.
And with that, he said, don't wait around.
Yes.
You know, don't drag your feet.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're not going to snap them up, somebody will.
Right. Yeah. And so I think what we have to decide is, do we want to pursue these 4 or some of these 4? And so I think we have to look at that and I think have some discussion here. And this is where I think groupthink is valuable.
Right. Yes.
To talk about that and just see what is the next step. And one question that we had was, okay, last minute we got Patrick Barber. We did a pre-Zoom with him, and one thing that we kind of all agreed that of all the 4, he's probably the one that is ready to go. Mm. But that doesn't mean we call him to come in, and then we haven't had a second Zoom with him.
I don't know if that explains it fully. What do you mean ready to go?
Ready to go means he's got experience. He's been in a role like this before. And so he is
the most experienced. He's not tied to any church right now.
Say that again.
And he's not tied to any church right now either.
Tied to any church.
Like the others have some.
And I would just ask on that because I don't know. Is that something we should know more about or do?
Probably.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He said he would tell the whole story if he knows what it is. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I think
that we would probably need to talk to the
church. Well, he mentioned talking to the elder that left.
George Carruthers, which I knew George.
Because he might just be able to be candid about it.
Yeah. Well, what I would say before we waste too much time talking about the details. Does anybody think he's got legs? Is any is he on, yeah. is on one or two on anybody's
we've,
list?
We've not one. Done a second Zoom with him
we
yet.
We weren't sure.
Right, but that so, question yeah, is, do we I need know. To? So where so, is he on
and
the
so
list?
So does he have enough legs to go with a second Zoom?
That's what I'm
and
asking.
I lean towards, let's do that to give him an opportunity to say, is he one then that we want to bring in?
So my question, you guys had, so the conversation you guys were having after the fact. So I throughout the whole thing, so I know Patrick. So
yeah,
right. We're the same age. We graduated, we were camped together, counselors. But I've not seen him, except for one time I think he was here at McKnight with Gina, ages mm-hmm. ago, just visiting from yeah. wherever.
Yeah.
So conservative question. So you brought up that in your conversation, but I didn't hear anything in the interview, let's say, that led me to think he was conservative or liberal or progressive, mm-hmm. whatever we want to call it. Wherever we sit, I don't know where we sit, but we're not conservative for sure. So in the idea of Church of Christ conservative.
Yeah.
So, but that was the conversation you guys were having, that he seems very conservative. And I was like, where were you catching that? Or did you have previous conversations about it?
Well, and Jeff, I would say before we answer that question, is he a one or two on your list?
So
what makes you say, could he be a three and we continue having this conversation? We haven't divided it that far yet.
Well, I
because that's my biggest question of if we even need to go any further with anything. So the second yeah. Zoom, there's no reason. If we know for sure that he's going to come here and he's not going to feel comfortable
yeah.
day one, there's no reason to even push yes. him towards the next interview.
Right.
However, if he's not what he, DeSoto, I mean, I know Don Barr baptized me. He's the preacher at DeSoto.
Yeah.
I know Twin City. I've been there many a times. And the preacher now is more progressive than yeah. any of them previously, yeah. but he's still not.
They still don't do anything.
Yeah, so yeah. he's not.
No women do
so
anything.
If we think that he's on that level, there's no way that we should feel comfortable even inviting him to the second yeah. one.
And we had a conversation. One of our concerns was maybe he's okay with it, but we need a champion in those
correct.
In those areas, which is that's my biggest concern with him.
Do we? Because it's never been something that's, we're like preaching these divisive topics, or if it's a controversial at all, it's not usually coming from the pulpit. It's coming from Bible classes where we can discuss the issue and help people come on board, you know, and have them.
But I think how you promote things in worship, it is daily, yeah. it is consistent. In other yeah. words, if you have someone who doesn't matter to them, you will not have African American presence on the stage or women,
but even that, like that's not up to the preacher at all. That's up to like the whoever's coordinating that worship.
No, it's not. It's up to me.
It's yeah. up to you.
Yeah, I mean,
currently,
well, I mean, like
it's Kaylin works for me,
uh-huh.
so it's a collective, but it's an understanding, it's a mindset of what we're trying to build, and it's not it's. Yeah, it doesn't. She's inherited that uh-huh. as a part of her role. I don't mean to be smug
yeah.
about it. I'm just saying that is a fear I have about this election, is that I would want, I'm just saying as one, somebody who comes in that does champion mm-hmm. the things that are important to us and not tolerate it. And I'm not saying he does or doesn't. I don't know.
Well, yeah. he did champion diversity because yeah, he went on and on
right,
about
no,
that.
Right. I kind of sense that it was liberating for him. And that's maybe the way I would mm-hmm. would have read him
well,
from this interview. So I'm not trying
he
to judge
talked
that.
About
I actually would have more issues with Michael Santiago because he doesn't have the background. He comes from more of a traditional culture, the Hispanic culture, and he doesn't have the theological background. So I think that he, for him, it was a bigger step.
Although someone that young and experienced is going to be very moldable. So like
I think that's true, but I think someone young and inexperienced also can tend to not see subtleties and sees things as either black or white
Yeah. Well, just about Patrick, I what he said felt very familiar to me because it sounded like where I was at when I came here 3.5 years ago. And it was, I'd never felt strongly about the instruments of worship. Right. I had questions about women's role. Like, I knew there's a problem with it, but I'd never studied it. Right. And so I think he said, well, yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with it first because when you don't use instruments in worship, it seems chaotic. It's overwhelmingly chaotic.
It does feel weird.
There is, like, until you get used to it, you see women standing up there, it makes you feel uncomfortable. It just does. And it's just time that gets... So the fact that he didn't have a... says he doesn't have a problem with it, I believe him. I take him as word for that. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll come on board. But yeah, I agree. Like, he may not be a champion for women in the church or whatever.
But I get your point. I didn't really just say... I wasn't trying to in any way call him out based on his views. I wasn't saying that. I'm just saying that... I do think we want somebody who values the ground that we've covered for a long time.
So it looks like one and two are strongly Ethan and Michael. And so maybe if we could talk about their strengths and weaknesses, why we have them one and two, and maybe spend some time talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. So let's talk about Ethan first. What were some of the things that you liked about Ethan?
He was, to me, a great communicator. I mean, the way he talked, he was very confident of his subject, and he could express how he felt. He could express why he felt that way. And I mean, he was just a really good communicator. So I inferred from that, since I didn't think about looking on the Lafayette website for a sermon, that he was probably a pretty good speaker.
He was a confident speaker. Yes.
And I liked his theological background. Just, I mean, I believe it aids a pulpit minister to be somewhat of a theologian. And I see Jeff like that. And I see these other men that have really studied not only the old text, but new thought and new, you know, so I really appreciate that about Ethan more than any of the others that I saw. Right. So
yeah, he mentioned in a postmodern society, we need to be able to clearly and firmly state what we believe and why. And I agree with that. And I like Tim Keller, and I think he does it. That's what he does well. And I think that's kind of what I got from Ethan. And I just, you know, for a young man, I thought he does well, but he's not overly heady. He's not, he doesn't come across
very much like Tim Keller whenever he speaks.
Yeah, so he doesn't come across as stiff and like he's lecturing you, but.
On the other hand, I could not understand the description of his thesis.
Yes, his thesis, yeah.
Kind of laughed about that.
So I had judged him. So I watched the interviews and I didn't listen to any of his sermons at all for a while. So it wasn't until the second interview, and I'm like, I need to figure this out. And I'd seen Don had had issues. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go find it. Went out there and listened to him. And I'm like, okay, so that just changed my mind to a point, because I had expected him to be really boring. Yeah. So this like his the thing. He did well in the interviews. I mean, you can always do well in an interview.
But you just thought it'd be but more I thought academic.
Academic kind of thing, and he wouldn't be able to actually stand up in front of an audience and speak, but he did well.
Okay.
The only concern I have with him is his experience, and he doesn't have a lot.
Right.
In the other things. So pulpit, I have no concerns about him being able to go Sunday after Sunday preaching.
I would agree.
But the other role is the question mark, where I think Michael, to a point, may have him at that side, but the speaking part he may struggle more.
And the other parts are more trainable, I would think.
Well, let's say sort of.
And he's got the people
I would say
skills.
Jeremy would be one of those people that we struggled with a lot, getting him to be very much an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really, until after COVID. COVID changed him. After COVID, he was was the best administrator that I had ever seen him ever be.
Yeah.
But it took, 10, 12 years to get him to that point. So. Yeah. But we don't really want to wait 10, 12 years to have a senior minister that... Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't mean that I wouldn't say he couldn't learn it or he doesn't have them. It's just he doesn't have that experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still need to talk about this more, but I also went back and I So we had Dale Robinson come in and talk about things. And one of the things he said is, if you hire people that are similar to what you have, you shouldn't expect a lot of change in what you're doing. And you know, if you think you want to change things up, you know, you gotta kind of color outside the lines a little bit. And that's hard for me. And so, again, I think this is an opportunity. You know, I'm not saying which way we ought to go, but some of these people are different than Jeff. But, you know, is that what we're looking for? You know, do we need, are we looking for something different for the congregation? You know, what are we looking for? So just, again, keep that in mind where.
Are you thinking that if we have a younger person, it's going to attract more young people to the church, maybe?
I don't know. I think it will be a different vibe.
And let me ask you this, Brett, because I'm kind of been on that track now for the last week since I finished the interviews, trying to process that. But I don't understand where that comment fits in the context of these candidates.
Right.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? It feels like we almost have to step back and reconstruct possibly what it is that we might believe we need,
right,
even after doing this. And I'm just asking, are you making that as a recommendation that we do that, or is that, because I would agree with you in this sense, at least. Well, first of all, God can do what God wants to do, and the Holy Spirit can do things that we can't even imagine. How much does it even matter at the end of the day what one person does? But setting aside God and the Holy Spirit for just a second, it seems to me that if you take somebody to do what I've been doing in the trajectory that the church has been on, I don't think it looks very good. Okay? Even though yesterday we had probably our biggest Sundays, and you look around and it was like a delight to be there, we still have all these major gaps of faith. When you look at the demographics, when you look at the strength of people's faith and their inability to find them, and they're there one time a month, and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, people say they want to be a member, and then you can't even track them down again. And, I mean, I could go on and on, things that just make me scratch my hair at you know, on a good day. So I'm being a little bit negative here for just a second. Bear with me, but to say, if that's the trajectory, can somebody like an Ethan come in and not simply, won't it be more of the same? Maybe he's a better preacher, okay, and maybe he's better pastoral in the hospital than I've been, and he's more attentive to that, and I miss things, and he wouldn't miss. Let's put all those there. Does that really change the trajectory of the church over the next 5, 10, or 15 years? I don't know that it does, except God's. And so maybe that you hire a guy like Ethan, but we say God's got this,
right,
and God's going to do this, and he's going to open some doors, and some new people are going to find McKnight, and we're not worried about it. Or we say, no, our role is to redirect things. And so what we most need is maybe not what Jeff is, but what we need is an evangelist, okay? And that's where that fivefold equipping ministry handout that I had, y'all familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was in.
So what we need some apostles. We need somebody who has the gift of evangelism, okay, in here. I'm just asking, is that a discussion we should have, or okay, let me give you one more. With Jeremiah's departure, we actually have about $60,000-some in the budget. To who says we have to give that to children's ministry? Who says you can't hire somebody to be a children's minister at 20 hours a week and 20 hours a week at something else? I'm just throwing that out there. Let me just be really plain. Again, I know Jeremiah did a great job, but let's count the number of families that are here, active in the ministry with children, in terms of the impact that his ministry had. As good as it's been, how many more families are involved now than were 2 years ago within the children's ministry? The only one I could really think of, and there may be others I was missing, is the Waltons.
Joyce, wouldn't she?
Both of these people, I don't think even the Waltons he went after.
No.
Because it just happened that they were back in town, and they happened to fit into there. And
they were here.
And then Joyce and them, they were for other reasons. I mean, they were very involved.
If you ask Joyce, she speaks like Milo just connected with him. I think that's a factor for sure. Especially when her husband is not
coming.
It keeps her coming.
I think that's a good example. So let's say two things. I'm not trying to, that's not to minimize Jeremiah's work. Okay. I am simply saying if church growth has to be a key part of this, then maybe we even have to think about that, about the children's ministry, even differently than we have thought we've been thinking about it, potentially. And I know that Jeremiah, because from the beginning, that he's much better at administrating something that's going, and that was his experiences, and drawing in people, and you know, as opposed to, he wasn't really an evangelist, but I'm just saying that suddenly, with his leaving, we possibly could even rethink everything we're thinking about, and that's not even to say there's just other ways to slice and dice it. So I think it'd be better to ask the question now. That's all I'm doing, but I know it confuses everything.
Well, to that, I just say amen, and, you know, again, we're looking at people with different skills and abilities. You know, God's given us these people. Okay, how do we make it work for what we've got here? And if it means changing up what you're talking about, this is what God's given us. And, you know, how do we make this fit? And how do we move forward with it? So, hopefully we're open to what you're talking about.
And let me just say, we're not here discussing who we're going to choose for our next minister, but we're here to discuss who we want to take one or two or three, do we want to take to the next step? Mm-hmm. So let's remember
that.
That's a good point too.
Yeah.
But the more you get into it, the more you get locked into what it is you're, because once you bring a person before the congregation, they think it's a preacher. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know how to think of it differently.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I think you still have to, I mean, I had somebody practically crying on the phone today when they finally realized I was leaving. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not that good. thank you. But in their mind, I am. So I'm like, okay.
And the other, to your point, though, is for the next step, it is a non-trivial step for whomever we bring back. So like if somebody says, you know, this is, you know, my congregation doesn't know about this or whatever. Yep. You know, that okay, it's a big move. Whoever we bring back, we have to be somewhat serious. We just can't play with this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the only one that fits that is Michael. Because the other guy.
Yeah, the other three are. Yeah. We can bring them in any time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he realizes that's one of the risks he's going to have to take, and I think he's feeling such a call to preaching that it might as well get out.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys think about Michael?
So he's moving from an youth minister for me.
Michael's
an ex.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like him, but his sermons were not good. Like he's just too inexperienced. He seems uncomfortable. Which I mean, maybe that'll fix over time, or maybe not. And that's kind of a lot to lock yourself into when you have all three other guys were gifted speakers, and it's a rough lineup to put him up against. And to me, that's, I know there's a lot of categories. I think, like, if we're talking about changing things up, then he would be changing things up. And I think his experience in inner city ministry, maybe there's some opportunity there that he could come up with when here. But without anything concrete there, to me, it's too inexperienced a speaker to consider.
Yeah, and I feel same way, Ross, as far as the preaching goes. I think he was probably the weakest of the ones that I listened to. But, I mean, he's 20.
Well, we weren't sure. Somewhere between 26 and 29.
If he came back to us 4 years from now or whatever, he's got some.
And he does have strengths in other areas, for sure. But I would not put preaching as his main one. But he did. I like the way. He was very good as far as conversation and in command of his words. And
yeah, he was.
He's I like that part. But
his interviews were very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very well done.
And he was very thoughtful. I think he was is humble. I think he, you know, I think he, but confident in, you know, his knowledge of the scriptures and things. Mm-hmm. But he would have scored, for me, at least on the actual preaching for sure, too.
Yeah, and I agree. He probably would have been third on mine for preaching. But, you know, I think some of what Brad has said before is that, you know, we've got people in the congregation that can preach. He doesn't have to be up there every Sunday, you know. That's not his strength. You know, we got people that can fill in. But, you know, he does need to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, there's five characteristics we're looking for. And, you know, is preaching the main one, or is it, you know, what? So
that's where it gets hard. I would think preaching should be one of his strengths, whoever we decide, because that's going to be a big part of what they'll be doing.
And a lot of people, that's going to be their main interaction first, at least.
Yeah, unless there was something. So, like, if you think about Jeff's fivefold ministry, if we think that we are, so the five being apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and
shepherd and teacher.
Shepherd and teacher. So if you think about that, so shepherd, we'll just assume that's this group. We then have four of them, teacher being the preacher scenario. If he was so much more of a strength in, let's say, evangelism,
yeah,
I could see that, and I'm not saying Michael fits that, because we don't really know enough of him to know that. But if he was so much of an evangelist that he would be able to bring in enough people to make up for that, not necessarily weakness, just not strength, mm-hmm, of preaching, mm-hmm, I could see, in, from my mind, I would be willing to go out
figure out how to compensate.
Yes, find that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, this scenario where bring in other people to preach at the same time, mm-hmm, or anything.
You're putting into words what I've been thinking, or at least mulling over.
No, so you're, exactly. Whenever he said that that's what started going in my mind.
Yeah.
So I would have ranked this one this way, this way. It's like, when after hearing that, I'm like, wait a second, maybe I wouldn't rank him that way. But we've not been asking those questions.
Not exactly.
Which is a struggle.
But I don't know that.
It's hard to
Michael, for instance, then, I don't know that he actually emerges,
correct,
for sure, that strong on apostle or evangelist.
No. Yeah.
We would like him to, and he kind of has that inkling in his heart, but I don't know that it's proven either.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And other than Patrick, those other three do not have much experience. And so that's just the way
that's
it is. Ethan comes across as more confident.
Oh, and he's done a bit more preaching. Because, like, just go to the website. He's got a lot of sermons down there. And with his working on his doctorate, I'm sure he's done a lot of talking.
Yeah, right. Teaching. So he's got experience in those others.
And
but
teaching.
They're still
teaching,
not, they don't have the,
not as
the
much
experience.
Yeah.
And so part of it is good. We can grow them into what we want them to fit with us in some ways, and they are who they are.
Yeah.
So that's what we
want. Brad Walker, what are you guys thinking?
It's confusing.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, it is. It is, because I think I can get my mind around what the target looks like,
yeah,
you know, in terms of, you know, I was working on something today in terms of, okay, what kind of profile would the ideal preacher be? What does he need? We had an ideal person. What would he look like? What would be his characteristic? What would, you know? And I was working through some of that and trying to figure out. I said, then how does that marry up against who we are? Because some of the things that he should possess should be reflective of who we are and some of the strengths that we have. And he's able to kind of carry those on. But he also should have areas of strength that kind of help us in some of the areas that we're challenging, we have opportunities. And so what should that person look like? And I was trying to get my mind around it. I'm not sure, you know. And I think I was coming back to something that you said earlier about pushing the chips in, right? Because I don't know if one person's going to be able to do all what we really need done at this point. And I was thinking about kind of Meg Knight in the 1970s and 80s, where they had multiple people with multiple skill sets in the house to do different things. You know, let's think about a person like Keith Hodges and Ben were kind of teacher preachers, and then you had somebody like Ryan was an evangelist because he was one that really kind of ranged me in. And then you had other people that were doing things. And so for what we're looking for, it might require either we sell for less than what we need with one person and just maybe say that person's going to do the key things like preaching and teaching, and then those other things, and leadership. And I think Ethan can do that. I think he can do some of those things. I think people will gravitate toward him in terms of some of his leadership. And so, but then what about where the opportunities come for like outreach and someone who can help us become more relevant to young adults, you know, in terms of how they, you know, position themselves and, you know, and someone, you know, that will help us with, you know, understanding some of the things that we're coming up, and I think Ethan can do this, coming up against how societal norms are changing, gravitating away from those principles that we know are Christian values, and how do we take a position and anchor ourselves despite what's happening around us so that we can still be influenced in the community. So I think, so that's why it's confusing, you know, in terms of, you know, are we ready to push the chips in and maybe say that we might need more than one person to do what we need done right now. And what does that mean, you know, in terms of skill sets for that one, for those two people? So that's why I'm not really sure how to move forward on this, because I'm not sure what we are willing to do in terms of our commitment to bring in more than one person.
Brad, what are you thinking?
I guess my point of view is that I was hoping that we would find someone that would just stand out so head and shoulders above the others, where everything here we see, you know, it gives us a little peace, but it's not really what we want. And I think to honor those people, you know, we bring somebody into the congregation, you know, you've opened the gates and something's going to have to happen. I'm more of a, let's not panic yet and say, maybe we need to broaden the search and look some more. And yeah, we may lose one of these people, but you know, we're still in the soft search phase, I thought. To me, there's no panic in saying we have to do something, you know, the next month and tell the congregation who it's going to be. I don't feel that pressure. I really think that God will provide. And I wanted to ask a question. Just last time we were together, you mentioned Susie Burge was being approached about the, did that fall apart?
Can we talk about that? We got that on the agenda item, if we can hit it when it hits there.
Okay. Yeah. So stay on track. My thought is, I'm really not comfortable yet saying let's bring in anybody unless we think that is the right person.
Did you have any assessment of these guys in terms of what ranking and all that?
I wasn't captured by any one of them, like, oh yeah, there's the one I would pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see pluses and minuses. Yeah.
So my thought, and you know, I don't know what the vision elders are thinking, is
you've just heard from a couple.
Yeah, is you know, one, I these guys have pluses and minuses, and I think anybody we look at is going to have pluses and minuses. And I look at, you know, if Dale Robinson, I love Dale Robinson, if he were coming to apply, he'd have pluses and minuses. You know, but great guy, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if Jeff, we coming in here, it's like, well, pluses and minuses, right? And yeah. and you just don't know till you get him here. And so I am, you know, I'm thinking about this. It seems like what I would recommend is we pick two and we bring them before the congregation. And we say, we set them up back-to-back Sundays, have a meet, and then I would think we'd want to come back for two meetings. You know, first time, you know, just a real quick one, second time. And you'd want to do it within like a month and a half, 2 months. So, and you want them back-to-back. 'Cause one is,
you know, I think we all have our favorites, but the church is going to say, okay, yeah, of the two, we like this guy, or they're just going to say, we'll tell, okay, this, they're not clicking with the congregation or something. Then we go, I think your plan is right. Okay, we're in a soft search, right? There's no need for us to pull the trigger. Now, the only thing is, if Michael's one of these, again, we can't play with someone's future casually, right? You know, that's... Yeah. Yeah. And so I think if, you know, again, I'm not sure how the voting's going to go, but so that's my thought is, you know, just thinking through this, you'd like to have two candidates, you bring them for the congregation, and we say, hey, we prayed about this, we've talked to candidates, these guys seem like they have pluses and minuses. We realize there's pluses and minuses. You know, what do you guys think? And then we'll get some feedback. And then if we're this first time, you know, just general look, we're going to get another look at them later. And then that second look, you know, we're going to have to plan, you know, lunches with people, getting, you know, one-on-ones with people on the second time around. And that's kind of my thought. And then, so there's a horse race for like a month and a half, 2 months. And then at the end, you know, hopefully it would be obvious what's clicking with the congregation, what we'll get a chance to hear them preach, get a chance to talk with them and things like that. That's kind of where I'm at. And I'm looking at these guys. And
so you would think that would take, that let's say it takes 6 weeks or 2 months to accomplish that for with those two people, right?
I would just like two touches with each one.
And then if neither one is the right one, then we would open it up to a hard search after that?
That's me. It's like if neither one of these guys are clicking, and again, I don't know, you know, again, we as elders would have to stand up and say, we believe in these young men. Mm-hmm. We think that, you know, God, we see something in them, you know, but I think, yes, that would be my recommendation.
So I suspect at the end of that time frame, one third of the church will like this one third of the church will like that one.
And that's where leadership has to come in, right. And we have to step up. Yeah. And it sounds like from our conversations that we have one that's at the top, and that's Ethan.
Right.
Yeah. So there's two things that's still missing, though, I think. So,
wait, what did you just say?
So I think there's two things still missing.
Yeah.
One is we are out an interview with Patrick, so we're not on equal footing.
Well, right. At least it matters.
Well, I'm just saying. So,
I agree. I think if you whatever you do for one, you need to do for all.
So they're not in equal footing at that point.
I don't agree.
Maybe not. Yeah. So I'm just saying that they're not in equal footing.
I would agree with you.
But the one that's really missing is the references, because we've sort of talked to a few people here and there about them, but not real formal.
Right.
Reaching out to them, because there's Jeff Childers that was for Michael, and so nobody's talked to Jeff. No. Nobody's talked to. I don't remember who Ethan's was. It was somebody.
Josh Ross.
But I don't think we've been to the stage where we're.
That's that question. So before we actually start inviting people in,
getting
to that question of which of the four really, I would say that would maybe the next piece that we might want to.
Based on what I'm hearing, though, I think we've only got one that we'd want to bite in with any degree. In other words, Ross had already kind of indicated he would not vote Michael. And Dave Weiler said the same thing in his in his email. And I have
I think that if we bring him in to preach,
we're
going to be biasing the people's opinion of them is going to be biased towards the preaching element.
Sure,
they're not going to be considering the other elements as much.
They can't evaluate that.
So if we brought Michael in with one other person, I feel like we'd be sinking him in that point, because it'd be hard for people to evaluate the other possibilities with him.
So I would again say that we revote and pick the first two. I think you have to have two.
I think you might have to have two, but if we only have one that we're really feeling any degree of confidence about, then I don't think we should. If you have to have two, then you have to find another one before you have two.
I do agree. I think we need two, so we can give some. It makes the one we pick look better.
Right. So the congregation doesn't say you just gave us this guy.
We have nobody to pick from. But if we only have confidence in one at this point.
Well, I don't. I guess it's the we. So my thought is, let's vote. Who bubbles up to the top now? If it's a hard no, we have to get into discussion. Okay. You know, or should, this is what the group said, you know, this is clearly the top two. So 80% it's clear this, and so there's a couple people on the edges, you know, what do we do? So should we go forward with that unless there's, you know, a serious reason not to, would be my recommendation.
So why are we not considering Josh Nix? Like, what are his negatives that people are seeing here? What is we lacking? Because he is a good speaker.
I was hesitant on his speaking. I felt his speaking was the same as Michael's.
The same as Michael's?
Yeah, yeah. I put him maybe a little above Michael. And this stays here, but I talked with Josh Ross, his senior minister, and he was very honest with me. And so let's keep, he said he doesn't feel like Josh, he says, I'm a big fan of Josh, but he doesn't think he's ready for a primary leadership role in a congregation.
The sense I got is Josh is looking for a job, and he's probably interviewing for all kinds of stuff, you know. And I don't think, you know, pastor, youth minister, children's minister, that's my guess, is he's just looking for something. And I put him, you know, third or fourth on the preaching.
Yeah, his second Zoom, he did not do a good job with that one. And his answers were not with a lot of vision as a congregation. It was lacking a lot of that.
It felt like he needed somebody to lead him.
Yeah.
So almost the situation, he would be a good associate minister.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because he was willing to do whatever the guy's name was.
Michael.
Michael to a point too.
Great associate minister. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
But he's not ready.
Or like an executive minister almost. Yeah. So that's that whole thing that if we have somebody that's only a preaching minister, and we have money to get an executive minister, these may be the two guys that we may want to put.
An executive?
In that they take care of the administrative kinds of things, keeping the small groups going,
evangelism?
If they are good at evangelism. So that's where the issue is at, where I don't think from any of the conversation or any of our conversations with them that I could say any of them would be good at evangelism per se as their main role.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean because we were asking them more preaching-related. Yeah. Yes.
Well, it sounds like there's a consensus, though, that we can eliminate Josh Nix. Like, we're not seriously considering bringing him in to the next level, next step.
That's what I...
It would be very useful if we could take, you know, a name off a list, yeah.
What do you all think about that, Josh?
I think that that's probably right.
Yeah.
I put an X through Josh, and I put it through Patrick, both those two.
Talk about that, Patrick, why you put next to Patrick.
I just think it'd be more of the same for us. I don't think he will take us in a better place. You know, I can almost see where we'd be in 5 years I'm just looking for something new, and I just like the way the other guys had a vision and just really felt more of a fire. And seemed like Patrick, he said, you know, he knows how to preach, but I don't know if he just knows how to do the job. And that's kind of the sense I got. And it could be a bad read, but that's kind of the feel I got.
That's fair.
So something Jeff had said in your comments, I think, during the end was this hurt person. So being one of those persons historically, I mean, as we left Hungary and we had lost our support at one point early on, and then I came to Mid County and it was the home for hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was just the oddest thing.
It was Island of Misfits.
Island of Misfits toys.
We called ourselves a mash unit.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, so Lauren Raspberry was there. Shane Hines came in at times.
Yeah.
I was there, and I don't know who else. There's somebody else that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, we had that Christian church guy.
Yes.
was in for a while.
And so we all generally made it somewhere. Lauren's still struggling. But everybody else, Shane's preaching and back at it, and they're doing well. I mean, they're from what I know, I'm pretty sure he's pretty good and happy. But it's a time period, and it's really soon since he's left. Or since they fired him, and you felt it in his conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fine with him getting fired. So I knew before that he had got fired because I went through and read all their
They had a history of their church on their website.
I read that
I'm just reading this, and it's like, whoa, wait a second. That's not what it says in his resume.
Yeah.
And that caught my eye.
Oh, yeah, I found that
so,
too.
So,
yeah.
And whenever I saw that, I'm like, and I started following, and I saw his Facebook and stuff before, and then I heard him talk, and it's like, no, he's still hurting, and he's mad still.
Yeah.
And that's really dangerous to put somebody in a lead position that's hurting that bad.
So maybe I'm biased, but we kind of went through that with Ed Bylund at Overland.
Mm-hmm.
So we had just had Chris Wheat come and preach for a year and then decide he didn't want to be a preacher. And he was, I mean, he was just young. And he was like a Josh Nix or Michael Santiago who's new to it and had the right spirit. But just I think he couldn't handle the pressure of, like, people telling what to do. But, just a lot of pressure from elders. He didn't know how to deal with it. He was not, he withered underneath it instead of standing up and, like, having his own opinions and things. But anyway, so when we brought Ed in, Ed was also from the New England. And I'm wondering if this is a thing in New England where they're trying to, like, reduce the preaching role, the preacher role. Because if you notice that, like, Patrick's congregation, they haven't hired a new minister. They just have different members preaching. And Ed was going through the same thing where they were like, we want you to be part-time and go get a regular job because we want to have members preach more. And, you know, like, they were trying to, like, slowly, like, phase him out. And so
budget issues.
And I got the same feeling, like, you know, talking to him as with Patrick. Like, you could see that, like, it was still raw. But what that translated to was that when we accepted him, he bonded very closely to the church. And, like, I would say, like, the more so than I'd seen any of their previous preachers before. So, like, it not necessarily as long as things work out.
Yes.
I think it will make him more bonded to us, and it will make him a stronger.
No, I'm definitely not. Him. I don't have a problem hiring somebody that needs healing, because pretty much all of us need healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we just have to be very concerned about that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on my list. So I mean, I didn't take him out of the first. I think he was number 2 on my list. But I would be very concerned still. There's still a conversation that needs to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And getting him to that point, through that point, and his family, because he made it very clear that his family are struggling with it. So, I mean, and I know my wife is still struggling with it. Mm-hmm. I've got past lots of the things, but you don't ever see us at Arnold. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my family, I was there recently when my mom died. That was the first time I'd been in their pulpit, and I wonder if they tried to keep me out of it. But so, I mean, that's that situation that it's, they're like, oh, why don't you come here? Because they don't know, the elders do. And so it's one of those things that you just, it's hard to.
I definitely don't want to write him off, and I feel like we need to talk to the elder who left. That was his advocate.
Yes.
Like, I want to know more. And I kind of just need to know what the situation is. Because, like, I've definitely seen in churches, there's elders who have, like, a particular axe to grind. And, like, they're maybe the source of the issue. But, like, or was Patrick the source of the issue? You know, like, if we knew that, that would maybe, you know, could eliminate him or you know.
The way they handled it didn't seem right either. Why he was on sabbatical.
Yeah.
That seemed, mm-hmm. that, you know, that just the timing of that.
Yeah.
It seems... but not good. They had a problem with them that just doesn't seem like the right way to handle it. Like somebody is going to get rejuvenated so they can come back and be prepared to lead the congregation and be in a better place mentally. And then you give them that news in that position. That's just, it doesn't seem right.
And one other thing that I liked about him, besides the fact that he's experienced and would be experienced at leading and not just at preaching, but that he talked about the projects that he started, like the how like he was troubleshooting the quarterly meeting, and he redesigned it and invited the elders' wives in and like made it a big success. Like it seems like someone who isn't just wanting to show up to preach on a Sunday. Like he wants to do things, which you know.
And he's from the Midwest. So
well, yeah, being the, yeah, the two people St. Louis that, area.
So mm-hmm. another positive for two of them. Ethan and Patrick have experience in the Midwest
mm-hmm.
or even Northeast, which is worse than
yes. Yeah, I feel Midwest. Like with the other there's a decent the chance two, that they would stay.
Yes. And,
like we wouldn't just be a stepping stone.
No, definitely. So that's the only concern, the larger concern on that side, if you think about that.
Well, no, honestly, I think Michael and Santiago would stay if it worked out. That's not... Josh is the one that, like, when I get the sense that, like, yeah, he's a couple years down the road, he's going to move on to the next thing. So we're not taking Patrick out of the running necessarily yet. We're just nowhere near to the point where we want to invite him in.
He
didn't
have one or two, I guess, yeah. But maybe we didn't take him out. And
I don't know what the point of leaving him in is.
So you feel like eliminating him because of the...
Well, I'm just saying if he's not in the top two...
See, for me, he was.
Right. I'm just saying in the aggregate, you know...
Well, you have the numbers. We don't have the numbers.
Right. Right, so. But I'm just looking at it because, again, we're going to vote. Yeah. We're supposed to talk through it because I'm hoping people are going to change my mind. But, he is, you know, he's well in third place. So Josh is
on the bottom.
Way at the bottom. It's very close between Ethan and Michael.
All right.
Yeah. So they are not a standard deviation above the rest, but they're...
How many of them had X's on them? Did everybody have at least one X?
Ethan did not, is the only one that didn't have an X. Everybody else had X's, except for Ethan.
Multiple?
Josh is the only one that had multiples.
Well, technically Michael had multiple, because Dave also... X-10.
Oh, yeah, because we're
not going to
save him. I put
Dave's in as I interpreted it. So
he did say Ethan first, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't mention Michael. He didn't mention any of the other two, but he said Michael's a little
young. He said
I can be convinced.
Yeah, maybe. So he said he could be convinced that they're not an X. That's how I interpreted it.
I guess I don't know how a preaching skill goes. Like, is that a thing that, like, we could be sure that he's going to get better and it could happen in a short amount of time?
No.
Okay,
no.
I think, yeah.
So if he's able to be in front of a group, generally you can train them to be a teacher or be able to give a message across.
And
if they're unable to do that, if they struggle to be in front of a crowd, I've seen preachers like that. Mm. Their only way to stay up there is to look at the back wall.
Yeah.
So they're never looking. It's insane. Somebody at Arnold is that way. They never looked at the audience. They always looked at that back row where right above everybody's head. Mm. And it's like, okay, you're giving us a
that was the trick that taught me for leading.
Exactly, just, because that's what it is.
I used that quite a bit. Yeah.
And again, these are all good questions because we just don't know. And I think having them here for a couple Sundays is going to be the only way that we'll get a better feel. So we can have a Zoom, but you really don't get it's helpful, but it's like, okay, I want to touch this guy. I want to see how he interacts, and I just want a couple.
All right. So maybe back to your point, Brett. What if we invited? Let me just propose this. Are we ready to suggest that we invite those top two in, Ethan? And I didn't think Michael was as high as you're perceiving.
I think we ought to do his 1-2 vote again. Just vote your top two.
Vote top two again.
To vote your top two and then...
Okay.
Because, quite honestly, for me, I can't remember now, but I think I put Michael as my number two, but it was Michael and Patrick that, to me,
because there's no two, mm-hmm. two and a half.
So yeah, yeah. So I think we'll get a different
outcome right now if we do this, and we're only going to vote two.
The problem is if we have a different top two, numerically it's harder to find the highest ranking one.
Because you'll end up with zero on the ones that
if you only do two.
Yeah, right.
So do we need to do numerical order on all of them?
I would ask you to put numerical order in X's the same way, you know, put them in numerical order and put an X if you don't want them.
All four.
Yeah, so the same way as the first one, right, for all four. Mm. Interesting to see if people...
Do you want our names on these two?
Yes.
Put your name on. First time around.
I was trying to identify those five categories.
Oh, I actually developed a leadership. This is the one you were talking about.
Oh, okay, nice.
And I put this together today, which it's sharpening my thinking, but I don't know if it helps this particular conversation or not.
I'll take anything that will sharpen my
thinking.
Well, it's challenging when you look at it.
See, Noah, I think it'd be exciting. Maybe we don't need this, but if we rated them, each of these people in these categories. But I guess we'd have to know more about
it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard. Really,
it'd just all be instinct.
It'd be interesting to go to their church and see them actually ministering or something. Sort of just be like a fly on the wall.
Well, I think
this is what references are
references,
for.
That's exactly right.
With references, but with Michael, it's different. Like, there's several people that I know that go to his church that he knows, but you can't call him when it's such a private thing right now.
I'm just trying to think about anybody at Harding.
But Jeff Childers does know. We could
Jeff
talk
Childers.
To him.
He's, and he gave us a couple others, like down in Little Rock.
Did he not give anybody in Cersei?
Thank you.
Because I didn't think he did. I didn't see anybody's name that I remember.
He had some from
Little Rock
Church.
Yeah, so from the
Brad, did you put your name on yours?
I put it on there.
Okay,
and the guy from the Inner City Ministry, I've heard his name. I've never met him.
Yeah, I like Brad's.
There in Little Rock.
Oh, does he agree with you?
No.
Oh.
But I like it.
Oh, a lot of X's. All right. Rock and roll.
He's thinking differently. He's not going with the flow.
That's right. Okay.
And so let's pause and pray. God, we come to you now, and again, we want your wisdom as we just have these initial discussions.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, may your spirit lead us eventually to the person that would be a good fit for us here as we try to expand your kingdom here and disciple those that are here. Father, we just, again, we ask you to be with us during this time here now in this discussion. And it's your son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What about a husband-wife team with no kids?
Wait, is his wife going to be a children's minister? That'll make my job easy.
That was one thing that I really liked about Ethan is, talking to people at Lafayette, they said that his wife leads the women's ministry there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Although they're going to have a kid, so everything changes.
All change.
But that's good. She's
a kid and coming in 2 months.
Did you turn one in?
Yes, I did.
It's right here.
Oh.
It's
like, wait a minute.
So are we changing Dave's answers now that
discussion?
Dave now votes for it.
That's right.
We can blame him.
Who controls the keyboard?
This is hard.
Yeah, it would be so much easier if some of them just weren't any good.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, again, when we interviewed them first, we're like, wow, these are some good guys. So
Jeff, I was going to say about
that's
your
what we prayed for.
Your things.
Right.
The prophet know God's will. The prophets I've known, I would not say that they know God's will.
just
between the two of us.
They were just prophets.
They were prophets, and they may have said stuff that...
Yeah.
Maybe...
Well, you know, didn't put it on here for the sake of space, but each one of these on this document I drew this from talked about the other side of the giftedness.
Yeah.
Mm.
In other words, like, let's say if you're an apostle, you might have little regard for pastoral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you might run over people, or you might have a temptation to do your own thing and not regard the community. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so each one of these kind of has a counterpoint. Mm-hmm. Like a teacher can get lost in their own teaching and not make application, you know. And so it's very hard to find the right mix in one person.
I was going
to
say, what that says is you'll never find somebody with all five.
It's a team thing. Yeah. It's a team thing. Yeah. But the epiphany for me was that, and this was a really interesting article saying, since the church has been formed in the way it's been formed since Catholicism, since Christendom, since Augustine, Constantine, is that we've used a particular model that has only emphasized shepherd and teacher. And that's essentially worked for a world that was Christianized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work in a post-Christian world. Mm-hmm. And that was just like, whoa, that's right. That's right. So the churches that are actually growing are trying to balance this with the other the other gifts. Because if you look at our team here collectively, we have some great, you know, great brains and faith and experiences, but we're basically shepherds and teachers in our in our collective gifts. So we're kind of hiring somebody that does the same thing that we do in another sense. In other words, you use that same set of giftedness.
Yeah, we're told that God provides everyone with giftedness.
With gifts, right.
And unfortunately, only 20% of them show up. And,
Or we stifle the other part.
Or we stifle, we don't know how to use it.
Yeah, we just... So, I mean, Stanley was one we were talking about as almost an apostle kind of person didn't really care about anybody else's feelings and opinion. He knew the direction God wanted him to go, so he went that direction. And it hurts sometimes. I mean, and I was telling Jeff while we were in Hungary, we met with several churches that were on this kind of model. And I knew an apostle. I knew prophets. But like I said, this is not the... I would not have said that a prophet is... one that knows
God's will. That way.
They may proclaim God's will, but them following God's will is a completely, or knowing it, like internally.
Mm. That's a good point.
Which is interesting. So, I mean,
but. Yeah, this is maybe the best.
Best case scenario. Yeah. So.
All right, Brad,
so
what we got?
This is interesting. So there's some change. Ethan has bubbled up more to the top. So Ethan is 1.11. So strongly number one. Actually, Patrick is now number two. So he's 2.9, and Michael is 3. So we need to have a second interview with Patrick. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to watch that and see if it's down to Ethan and Patrick coming in. But it's clear Ethan is high on this. So I'm hoping that we can get a second interview with Patrick. And
well, certainly no problem with that.
Yeah. And again, I think it'd be easy to get Patrick in, and Ethan's local. And so hopefully we can, if that second interview, everybody likes it. But what it does say is we need to get Ethan in here. I know other people are looking at him. So
let me ask you this, and this is real practical, but on... This coming Sunday's Easter. The following Sunday, we're doing a congregational prayer in the worship. And then the following Sunday after that, I'd like to be up in Chicago for my granddaughter's birthday, if that would work, because Ben's off work that weekend. So that would actually open the possibility. I've been kind of waiting for this discussion here for if we wanted them to preach, if this person, you know, Ethan to preach, then that would be a possibility for him to do that on the 14th.
Do we still feel like we want to back-to-back the two people that we
bring
in? That
would be my preference.
I think that, depending on the interview, I think we should also hit references for both of the two. Because they're both right there close to each other.
Yeah.
At 3 and 2.9, I mean, we do the references, and then we have a conversation. Either we all get on the Zoom, or we... have some email conversations back and forth to determine who is really that number two.
Yeah. Okay, I messed up. So are you saying because Michael and Patrick are very close?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have 2.9 and 3.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's 0.1 different, which is really the same. So
I got you.
So just this do thing. We choose to bring all three of them in?
I feel like that might be important because it could be that personally when we meet Michael – it's way different than just watching him preach somewhere else.
Yeah.
It might be worth giving the opportunity.
And I've always been like, okay, I don't want to bring him unless we're really... But no, if we're considering him, we need to bring him in. He understands the risk that's there.
Yeah. Well, I think he indicated, I guess your point, though, is that it's almost impossible to keep it confidential within the Churches of Christ. Put him flying in here for a weekend, I guess is your point. Now maybe it could work, but because he was open to coming in for a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he indicated that in his last interview.
I think really is most of us really like him, and giving him a fair chance. This is something he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Just give him his chance.
So I'm hearing one takeaway as we follow up with Patrick on that Zoom pretty quickly.
And I want to. I feel like Patrick's references are the most important.
And then I feel like
people.
We need to follow up with the references and pursue that. And I don't know who he put. Did he put the? I don't even put who he put down on.
Them. Well, he mentioned in the George interviews. Yeah. That's the person we talked to.
Yeah, that's moved to Texas. Okay, and then I remember George. Engineer guy, yeah, he was an engineer. I mean, he kind of was the elder there at the Manchester church for years and years and years, and again, a well-respected guy, but then he moved, and somehow the dynamics of that leadership changed quickly after that, and that's when they let Patrick go. So we follow up with that in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Then what?
So I think what it is, so you need to schedule with Patrick.
Yeah.
Everybody looks at that and says, I think more of him now, or I think less of him now. And you know, after that, we may say, okay, yeah, it's Michael. This guy's just too burnt right now. He's, or he's like, yeah, he brings a lot. You know, he'll be able to hit the ground running, and yeah, let's bring him in with. But I think after that, then we'll decide, you know, who we bring in, and I'll. I think at that point we can decide if we want to bring in the third candidate as well. But I think, yeah, we just bring in at least two, and we bring in a third one if we think we
want to. And they may not be back-to-back, but there may be 1 week gap or something like that.
I would hope to get them in as quick as we can, and you would think with Ethan and Patrick we could make it work.
Yeah, that's like 3 weeks out. So, I mean, or 4 weeks out. Yeah. That's almost a month till the second. Yeah.
You think the 14th is then a workable day.
But I was going to say, with that, if we bring somebody in, we have to make some kind of announcement. Hey, we've got some candidates, and we're bringing somebody in, but this isn't the only one. We've got a couple, so somehow we have to.
Yeah, we can communicate that.
That
and then we have to schedule not just that Sunday, but a whole weekend with them.
And was that the weekend they come in? Are we doing a whole weekend?
Okay, So that's one thing we talk about. Maybe we bring them in just with us first,
right? And then I think the second weekend,
and that's going to be a lot of weekends then for us. That's 6 weekends if we have 3 people for all.
Well,
of us.
After the first week, you get it down to 2 people
you
or
get
one
down
person,
to 2 or 1,
yeah.
Or as Brad said, we
bun.
None,
yeah,
none are exceptional. Right. We go back to opening it up.
Do we not know anything about the Patrick separation? As far as details,
he said he'd be glad to tell us. What he said in the interview, but I don't know that we know.
I didn't know if you guys got anything.
Nothing other than what he said in the interview.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like if we call Carruthers, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah,
but wasn't Carruthers gone when it happened?
Yeah,
so but he seemed to like foretell that something was about to happen. Yeah, so like, yeah. I think
it was after he left that it happened. So there was issues between two of the elders and Ethan, or not Ethan, Patrick. That had gone on early on in his time there. Mm-hmm. So Carruthers knows about it.
Yeah.
And so then, and that just continued to where this became the source of it, him getting fired.
But what you said is he may not have been as forthright as you would think in how he characterized that.
Definitely. No, so he said he was angry. So he said that they had some heated conversations where I fit into the same bucket, so I come from the same island that he comes from. Yeah. And I know how our heated conversation, Ross, you join me.
I know my people.
Yes. So even just the way he talked about it, I'm like, that's exactly how I would have handled it. And I know how I handled Arnold. I know how what I did with everybody around any kind of issues. And I'm willing to stand up for my thing, and I'm going to keep going until because I know I'm right.
But we just...
Just so you guys know.
We have to know. We have to.
Correct. Yeah, and that doesn't mean that there's any... I mean, you have to be able to have two sides of everything and understand it.
So, moving forward, we're going to... The Vision Elders are going to have a second interview with Patrick. And then we're going to follow up on some references and then come back and report to you guys.
And I think on the Patrick, unlike the others... You schedule it as soon as possible, what's convenient for you. Let us know, and we can join in if we're able to, right?
I'm thinking maybe we can do it on a Thursday, this coming Thursday. Are you guys available?
Yeah. Are you going to do it in the evening on Thursday evening?
Thursday evening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just don't leave another hour of
you know, the recapitulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just shorten that part.
Well, that, you know, if you press the forward button, it goes forward 5 seconds. You can.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, whatever is quickest and easiest for you guys. So if it's, you know, 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning.
Okay. Yes. Well, I will talk. I'll talk to these two guys. We'll talk to Patrick. And we'll use the same questions that we've used for the others. Yeah. But then we might add some just
with his situation. Because with the questions, again, I think, you know, we talked about what. How should we explain this to the congregation? And I think, you know, we'll give them resumes, cover letters, but I think the list of questions would be good too. It's like, I think that it's a great list of questions to let people know or not.
I'm much more, so I don't think the congregation should be the ones deciding. I feel that, so personally, I would even say Ross and me being here in this conversation. If
you're influencing things.
We influence things a lot.
Your rankings are different colored, though. So
I know.
He called that out. You guys didn't know. Yeah. No, I
figured Brett was doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you hit a broken controller, so the stuff turned the TV off.
I didn't count either. I know.
But I think that if you give, this group thought becomes very big in that situation. And it can distort lots of things. You have to be very careful when hiring somebody, because if it gets too big, then, and this is, I mean, I went to training on hiring, officially training or hiring people. So, I mean, and you have to make sure that you don't let it go too big.
Yeah, we're still Church of Christ. We might split over. You never know. Don't give an excuse. And again, don't give an excuse.
We've already split enough times.
We laugh at that.
Yeah.
But again, to that point.
And we have to prepare the congregation, say, look, you guys need to trust us on the decision.
Yeah. Because I think that's an important point in that we are making a recommendation, and they can voice their objections, but we're going to make it their recommendation.
So this week is Easter. It's a little awkward. So maybe it's on the 6th or the 7th. But I think we definitely need to update the congregation with this, all of this, on the 7th. So
and 7th will have even more,
really fast. More data. Yeah.
Oh, we can skip it. So we all have the email from France. Are we ready to move forward? Or?
One more question. Who's going to be doing the references checks?
The vision elders.
Well, okay.
So we'll divvy that out.
All right. France.
We have no real updates other than what Steve, you read during church on Sunday.
I read.
No.
Brett.
Yeah.
Somebody, whoever.
I know we're both really good looking.
Somebody taller than me.
Except they're not going to Hawaii.
So that's all we know. I knew earlier a little bit that there was an issue, but that email that we got was the first time that we'd heard anything. So really, we're just praying, I think, and waiting for a solution. No money's being moved anywhere.
We haven't sent them any yet.
We've not sent them anything yet. We've not sent any of our money yet. We've sent some of the money that was here to the other place, but it's still sitting at the other place. It's not been sent to France
One
yet.
More thing.
So.
One more thing. So. Okay, Children's Minister search update. Do you want to say something about Susie Birch? You want to explain that?
So we invited her to be a part of, come in and be the coordinator, interim, and she gave some thought. She called Jeremiah and talked to him about the role and got an idea of what was going on and said she needed to pray about it. We had several conversations.
How many emails?
But at the end of the day, she just said, you know what, 30 years ago, I probably would have said yes, but she said, it's a little overwhelming, all that, you know, the job that requires. If I had a couple more people working with me, that maybe I can do it. So, but she did say that, you know, whoever we get, that she would be available to help out. But she didn't really want to take the lead role.
Okay. All right.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this guy. Are you going to talk about this guy?
We will. We'll get to that, too.
This is two parts.
Okay.
There's two different teams here. Don't mix the teams.
I'd like to start with him. You guys go ahead, because that...
So this continues from Susie's conversation.
Yeah, I'm Susie conversations, but unless there's any questions.
Okay.
I don't have anything else.
No, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
But so when Susie said no, but I will be available, Jeff approached Jeff and said, hey, you know what? You know, I can do this, you know. And, you know, so we sat down and we talked about it and got an idea of what the job will require. Got a couple of documents.
Yeah, I got the job.
And so, and Jeff said, you know what, I even maybe can work from the office some. And so he talked with his manager today, and the manager said, hey, Jeff, whenever you want to work from the office, yes, let us know, and we can make that happen. But he has 2 days. Jeff, I don't want to talk too much, but I want you to kind of take it. Jeff has 2 days during the week that he will definitely be available, which are Tuesdays and Fridays. And Tuesday is really a good day because that's the day where the next gen meeting happens, so he can be a part of that. And it's also the day where staff meeting, and he can be a part of that. So having him available on that day is really important. So Jeff, I'm gonna let you just kind of take it from there. But what you have in front of you is what we see as the responsibilities for the job that Jeff will be handling along with Izzy, and I can talk a little bit more about Izzy when Jeff kind of take his piece in. And, now that you've seen the job description,
So I mean, my experience. I mean, I have spent. I mean, youth ministry was my degree. Missions, all kinds of related kinds of things. Spent lots of time here in lots of the environments. So both in youth ministry as well as in the children's ministry, preaching and whatever else. So I mean, experience-wise, that role I think I have experience. The other was that my role as a project coordinator to a point at work, business analyst, whatever you want to call it, is really what the role is. So, I mean, really keeping track of teachers, making sure that they get to class, making sure that they have the material they need, and in taking care of Izzy or any of the other people, even Susie in the scenario, mm-hmm. I think that that's what I do a lot. And I told him, this 12 to 15, I think that probably I don't even need to work that much. But being that my work I can do most of the time in a computer anywhere in the world, I've worked in Hungary before, I've worked wherever, I could sit in the office here and do the same work, close the door, have phone conversations, whatever I need for work. I have to make sure that I'm sort of available throughout the business day, or the market hours is what the official rulings are. But most of the work I would do would probably be after that, other than like these meetings that would be needed to be at. And so
I thought it was interesting. I thought what kind of tipped it or made me see it differently was when you explained that your work at Edward Jones is not all that demanding, or there's a lot of gaps.
Because I'm project, I have to get my projects done. And it doesn't mean that I don't have enough projects, but a lot of them, there's times you sit around and just wait for the next thing to come or wait for the next email as you have time. So, I mean, I have, I don't know however many that I'm currently rolling on, but I think that there's time even during the day that I can, if I needed to, spend dealing with church things as opposed to doing work things if needed. So.
So in terms of directions for Izzy, we did struggle a little bit with that, but as we sat down and talked about it, and Jeff's availability really is going to help with that, you know, because we wanted somebody there that can help direct her and making sure that she was on task doing what she needed to do. And so we laid out some ideals for her as well. And
I've got that too.
So basically, a lot of her role is going to really mirror what Jeff needs done and to support those big projects that he has going on. But she will have some regular duties in terms of classroom preparation, making sure the classrooms are prepared in terms of what the teachers need in the classroom, maybe even following up with the teachers to make sure that they have the material in advance so they can be ready to go when they walk in the classroom. She'll do bulletin board preparation in terms of the bulletin boards, make sure that's done. She will be probably really involved with nursery responsibility. Jeff will still be leading that, but she'll have a big chunk of the nursery responsibilities in terms of, you know, making sure the volunteers are in place, making sure the teachers are in place, and all those things that go along with that. So that will be part of her role. And she will also be in the next gen meetings as well on Tuesdays, and the staff meeting. It looks like right now, I think we envision her doing like 3 days a week, like a Monday and a Tuesday, and then another day during the week. Actually, you know, that'll flux, you know, and Mondays and Tuesdays are critical because Monday is a good day to process what happened on Sunday, and then Tuesdays you get the staff meetings and the next gen, and then, you know, Jeff can decide what other day she will be needed that week, and then on Sundays, and then she'll be responsible doing things on Sundays. And so so she'll do about 30 hours a week, and she'll be available the Tuesday following Memorial Day when she'll be available to start working.
How many hours a week?
Approximately 30. Yeah. Okay. She'll do three 8-hour days and then okay. Sundays.
Has she accepted the position? And did we end up talking to her existing job?
Oh, no. She has.
She has. They're going to hold it for her?
Leave of absence. They've already approved
it. Okay, good.
I'm going to follow up with the manager and say thank you for that, just to kind of let him know what we just really think she's great.
Yeah.
So
we got to provide some documentation for that, too, so that she can take that into Panera's.
And so how many hours was McGlawn going to work?
I think 12 to 15 is what's written on here. So. And just like my other job, I don't count weekends and other stuff, so I make it 70 hours. And
yeah.
And for how long is that? Can you do that?
So
how many months?
I'm open to start, I think. We talked April even, so.
April 1.
April 1 he would start, so you get a week of cross-training with, or a semblance of a week, part of a week with Jeremiah.
Yeah. No, but for how long? I mean, for 1 month, 8 months?
At least through the summer.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, VBS would be, my goal is to, or I plan to take off the week before the week, because Izzy won't be available until the week of VBS. Right. So Sophie will be available the 2 weeks, so she'll be helping, and hopefully I can get Greta in here.
So like through her. September?
So then, yeah. And I mean, the hope is we have somebody hired, and then I would help to train them. To get them to know what all the things are. That cross training would happen at that point.
We might go back to Susie. Yeah.
but even that, so I mean, it just
depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a children's minister. When I came back from Hungary, I didn't want to be a youth minister. So it's.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate your heart where you just saw something that needs to be done. And like, I could do that. Maybe I should.
So are there any other questions? We talked to Brett or Dave a little bit in terms of money.
Yeah.
But any other questions related to this? I think Dave had a couple concerns, but he was, you know, the responsibilities were one. So Steve and I worked on that today. And then obviously Jeff taking oversight of Izzy and then Sarah being in on this was a big thing for Dave, just knowing that Sarah was behind this and that we're kind of pointing, helping Izzy in a good direction. Mm-hmm. Seemed to be a good thing.
Do we know how much she made at Panera?
$1,380.
Okay, so $1,450 would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one other thing, so we had talked about April would be Gwen and Valerie. Mm-hmm. So being with Gwen is just getting out of the hospital, and that's why April became the time that I was willing to step in and not wait till the summertime to start it. And Valerie, I don't know if you talked to her?
Gwen actually talked to Valerie a couple of days ago. Okay. We got circled back with her because she talked to Valerie and told Valerie that that someone else is going to do the role. And Valerie said, I'm really thankful for that because I had a lot on my plate. But I think she circled back with Jeremiah.
Jeremiah told me yesterday.
So that's a little confusing.
So, yeah, it is. So I had a conversation with Gwen about it again today. She said she was real clear, but if we have to follow up with her again, we will. Make sure.
And then you can draw on these guys. I mean,
that's what I told Steve when we were leaving. You know, that it's
Susie,
like it's really good
idea. There's three right there. Susie, mm-hmm. Gwen, and Valerie in ways that you need to.
No, Valerie was there Sunday.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the scoop there with the interim, and now back to Ross.
Okay, yeah, we took the old job description. We had a job description, then he gave us the old one, and we said we like that better, and we just made some changes to it. I just wanted you guys to have a chance to look it over and see if you had any problems with it or suggestions. So under delighting in God, we added the line, children will learn Bible verses and Bible stories oriented towards forming a relationship with Jesus. That's something that, like, Jeremiah was very good with, and we felt like it was worth mentioning that we wanted that to continue. Under serving eagerly, we just added the example of for the outreach to the community, i.e. care packages for local firefighters, something like we've done a few different things, and we really like the kids enjoy that, and it's really good. Create opportunities for MX. We added the game nights with seniors as an example, because that was a big success for both the kids and the seniors.
I'm sorry, where was that one?
That was at the bottom of serving at your lease. Okay. I'm trying to run through it too fast here.
On the back, we
changed a little bit of wording for planning. They were setting the direction. We decided to steward the direction. You know, nothing, no big thing there. There was something where it talked about special needs kids. The wording was very strange, so we changed that to be aware of kids with special needs and assist with success at the Boundary Sensory Room. And then we added Trunk or Treat to the list of primary planner for VBS, Father-Daughter Date Night, which was Daddy-Daughter Dance Night or something. We renamed that. It was whatever the new name is. And then we added, at Nathan's request, collaborate with youth minister to plan and execute next-gen events.
I would add a comma there. I mean, a period at the end of that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I also would say take out the boundless room.
Oh, don't mention that.
There's no boundless room.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. Okay, well.
Yeah, there was at one point. It was a great concept, but also hard to deliver on.
Okay. And then under additional attributes and priorities, we added steward, propose, and report on budget activities. So that's something you had Jeremiah do. It's worth mentioning.
That one needs a period too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
So on the first one, on the very last one, I would get rid of the bullet point.
Yeah, yeah. Under game nights with senior citizens. Yeah, I noticed that too. All right, yeah.
I didn't make comments.
Okay, and then the other thing that we have here is Jason Vincent, he created a survey that we want to send out to the congregation. Where they'll put in their email address and their name and then just ask them, what are a few things that you have most valued about our children's ministry in the past couple of years? As you consider the needs of your children and your family, is there anything about the children's ministry that you would like to see more or less of? What are your top 3 to 5 priorities when you think about what you expect? Do you have any questions with the children's ministry search team or concerns? And then would you be willing to participate in the following, joining in-person interviews, hosting a visiting candidate for a meal, overnight, or other? And then anything else. So we're just trying to get some people to give us a little feedback and feel like their voices are being heard here. And then if someone really feels passionate about showing up for, like the ministry search, we're going to be doing Zooms with our team. But then when we come in person, we're probably going to have extra people come in, parents and whoever feels strongly about it.
Can I get the results of it?
The result? Oh, absolutely. We'll share that with everybody.
A lot of work going on. Thanks, guys.
One of the things I did not print out for everybody, because I think you guys already know about this, but this is the Siebert Group. You guys have used them for some of Siebert? Okay. Yeah. Jason's the one that's coordinating with him on this. He sent us this like summary of what they do, and it sounds like a lot of the paid consulting stuff is not things that we need. Mm-hmm. They are going to post the job in their internal network, and that's like the number one thing. They said like their consulting is if you want to change the direction or like change your vision, and I don't think that's the general consensus among people is that we want to change. We like what Jeremiah was doing, so we want to get more of that. So I don't think we're going to need that. But, I think we're going to meet with them in a Zoom to discuss, see if they want to sell us on something.
So they're the ones that we've talked to about the elder group as a whole, and they hosted the conference that they had.
We had
I don't think you got to come to. And that's the two people that were here.
That
group, that's cool. Who they all work with at Abilene.
Good people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you got it. Well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Ross. That's great.
So, what do you have a time frame on when that goes out, then? Or
the job posting?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're gonna get together and meet, and then it's right away. Our warm network has not brought up any leads at all. No. Mm-hmm. No, I know some people at Freed, and then I know different ministers from when I was in college, and then Jason's reached out to people, but we're just haven't had any. It's not a position that's common in Church of Christ as much as youth minister is, so there's just less people looking for it. And it's really a feminine favored, and right. which and again, in Church of Christ, it's not a good history with women participating. So it's gonna be a little harder, but
there was one. I don't know if I mentioned this to you yet or not. Maybe I did. Correct me if I haven't. But Jeremiah had reached out to someone within his community, and they sent him someone at Lubbock Christian University.
And Ross, another thought is you triggered something in my mind when you said that. The Christian church, and there was a church, I know when we were looking for McKaylee at the time, before we were looking for McKaylee, we were looking for children's ministry. And there's a children's ministry program through the Christian church a college affiliated with the Christian church in Kentucky. So I'm saying that because they're not really Southern per se. They're kind of a little closer to our area, and it'd be interesting to go to a place like that.
So when we did the search last time for Jeremiah, we made a list of like every Christian adjacent university, even some state universities that have programs, and we broke them up, and everybody went and posted them and stuff. So that's going to be in our next steps.
I just had not.
Now, if anybody knows any personal contacts or whatever at Lindsay University, let us know.
Exact background. She just wasn't.
You're going to contact them.
She just didn't have an text.
Okay, so I would propose I don't think there's anything pressing on ladies' bathroom or the directory, so we're going to
save that for those.
Save that for
We got all this done by 8:37.
Thank you for the pen and the tabulation.
It's been appropriately noted by.
But it's not.
You're not an accountant. Your computer administration,
McPherson. So I don't have a degree in accounting.
No, I remember her, but it wasn't.
You are. Oh, you are. Okay. So it's in your bones. All right. I love spreadsheets, man. There's games I play where like I spend like not for every 1 hour I'm playing, 9 hours sitting on a spreadsheet planning things out because it's just really
struck by the story. Yeah.
Can I have all of their?
All right. Can we come together for a closing prayer?
Okay.
Steve, would you lead us in that?
Father, thank you for this day and. Father, as we look at the weather, we're reminded that we are in transition in terms of season. And it's also a reminder that we are in transition in terms of a church body. And
yes,
but Father, we have all confidence in you, even though we may come up lacking in areas. And we do want to take a step back and let you lead us. And Father, and we just want to reflect to the congregation that we are following you, which allow them to follow us. And so, Father, we just ask that you continue to have us have that mindset as we look for men and leaders to move into the role of lead pastor and children's minister. And we thank you for the work of Ross and his group. And we thank you, Father, for Jeff McGon moving into a role that's needed. And Father, we just, we're so grateful that we have men like that step in when needed. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing on all the men at this table and their families. And we pray, Father, for peace and tranquility in their homes. And we just ask your guidance as we continue to walk with you, that we not become discouraged and continue to walk in the face of all adversary, because you say a persecution will come. And when it comes, Father, we want to stand prepared with the full armor of God. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So five more minutes.
How is Gwen and how is Becky?
Becky is doing better.
Good.
Doing better. Yeah.
Same
still
Gwen.
Pain some, but she's getting around doing stuff.
Yeah. And Gwen?
Much better.
Good.
Yeah. She went to the doctor today and removed staples. And
good.
Thanks for asking. Great.
Yeah. Five more minutes. So, Mr. McGlone.
No, we already said closing prayer.
I know. Come on, man. We are very glad you're stepping in as the interim children's minister. There is some discussion on what that means with your peer group and how you you're attending elder meetings. So couldn't you be part of the elder meetings and be part of the ministry at the same time? So I don't know, Mr. Kreider, if you've got some words on that, but there's some discussion on if that is awkward, appropriate, or how we should structure that. So, and I don't know that we want to talk about that tonight, but I just think we needed to approach it.
I just gave Jeff a heads up yesterday that we might have him leave for a few minutes to talk about it. It didn't occur to me until it was brought up in the meeting yesterday morning.
Okay.
In the prayer meeting was brought up. By one of the shows.
I look at it differently as an interim as opposed to a permanent role. You know, it just seems a little different.
Yeah.
I
don't personally see the conflict.
I don't either.
I just wanted to have that conversation. Yeah. If he's starting that soon, I just think we need to.
I think it's totally up to him.
Because
it's too much of a burden.
Yeah. That's true, too.
Yeah. Maybe if we finished by 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Come on.
I just wanted
you
the
are
table.
New to this. We used to go to 9:30.
Boy, remember.
Dave,
10
o'clock.
Right. Sometimes it went till midnight.
Yeah.
Not a good question. I just don't have
it. So, yeah.
Well, let's do a lock-in. Elder lock-in. Let's go.
Yeah.